I'm surprised how good it feels to whore out this podcast for the sake of your little charity thing, you do-gooder.
Yeah.
Hi everyone, this is Vangelis, host and honorable chairperson of WTF at TFW. I am joined by my CTSO, Aaron.
What's the S?
Steak.
Okay.
Also joining us is one of our CMOs, Omegas Prime.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
It's actually Chief Mandatory Officer. They just...
Okay, then whose organs did I just harvest?
Well, that's up to you. That's your hobbies.
Oh, but... God.
That was the COO's organs.
Yeah, we don't need him anymore.
Well, he's the chief organ officer. That's his job.
The chief mandatory officer. Usually there's a couple. They kind of just come with the set, and they have secret talents that you'd kind of take for granted. And then... I got a Twitter reply that reminded me. I'm going to say right off the bat, this episode of WTF at TFW, episode, according to my Twitter, 176, because I suck at typing, is currently being whored out for the Extra Life campaign of Team Andy Rue and his gaming gang.
Yep.
So,
Who he will be there for some portion of the game-a-thon.
Yep, he'll be there smoking a giant cigar.
Like, he does have I got a donation in order to have him wearing something funny, and whilst cleaning out the basement, I found like the outdoorsman vest thing where it has pouches and pockets.
Oh, good.
So he's been wearing that to actually keep him from scratching himself because it's allergy season or something. But so $25 donation from the pathologist on Twitter. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
I was trying to, but my brain kind of crapped out on me.
Happens to the best of us.
Trying to dial back my caffeine so that it will be more effective this weekend.
No, oh, yeah. You're trying to lessen your resolve slightly.
Yeah, I'm trying to weed myself a touch so that when the death wish comes in, it'll kick the legs out from underneath me.
All right. Well, I know you guys have been talking about your Black Blood of the Earth you got chilling out with you there.
There'll be Deathwish and Kona.
Now, I'm not...
Almost said coma, because after the Deathwish comes, you know, of course, the coma.
I'm not an expert at drinking that stuff.
The Chronic Doctor on Twitter. That's what his actual screen name was. Sorry.
But I'm going to recommend that you wait until after hour 12 to even crack that stuff open.
Yes. Yeah, I'm planning on... Yeah, and maybe a Mountain Dew around as something sugary, caffeine-y, and then kicking up to maybe a Monster or Red Bull and then going, hey, Black Blood.
So you got your liquids covered. Now, I want to give just a quick recommendation for your solids, and this is, again, just my own experience trying to stay up too long. Avoid donuts and bread and stuff.
Yeah.
And eat just lots of, like, proteinful meat power. But not greasy meat. I'm talking, like... You know, fuel meat.
Like jerky?
Yeah.
Like trail mix style stuff.
Yeah.
Like what it's designed for. Yeah, that's... I was going to get a thing of trail mix, or maybe even make some. It's easy enough. Whatnot. Called around a couple places to see, hey, we're doing this charity thing. Would you, you know, give us a deal on 10 pizzas or something? And I got... So...
Well, those pizzas would murder anyone who's trying to stay up with you.
Yeah.
Like, just FYI. Another thing you learn after a while is pizza is actually the worst food to stay up late with because it really wants to put you to sleep when you eat a whole lot of it fresh.
Right. But I was also looking at free.
Oh, yeah, that helps too. And you're the one...
That balances.
You're the main one who has to stay awake. Everyone else, I'm guessing, can take shifts if they want.
Well, of the people, so of the team... everybody, I would hope that everybody actually in the gang, makes the whole 25 hours. That'd be Dan, me, that one guy, Secret Code, Stan is going to be there. Alfie will be there. Secret Code won't be there. He'll be doing his own thing. Panzer Jedi And, he showed up in the last thread.
Unicron Supreme?
Talking. Unicron Supreme.
If you want some help with the people who will be there on hand to keep them awake, I find if you still have a wristwatch, side with the little pin, you just kind of
jam that in their neck.
No, you raise it up real high, and then you kind of, it's called a strike, if you want to say, but you strike them with it, kind of like if you're, you know, like hitting a bull that needs to go forward. The side with the pin, it's the important part, because that makes the biggest noise, and that wakes them up.
Okay.
I used that trick, a friend of mine, back in high school, the very first night I ever got drunk, a friend of ours who was there, who'd been drunk before, said, "Don't let me fall asleep because I'll puke if I fall asleep." He said, apparently that was his belief. And so I knew my mission was to not let him sleep. And every time he started to sleep, I just started, like, battering him with the spiky end of my watch strap. And he accused me of being a fighting, angry drunk. And I kept telling him, "No, you told me to sober. You told me to do this." And he said, "This isn't what I meant." And I was like, "When you don't specify the terms of the deal, it's left up to me to fill in the blanks. And I don't see you sleeping right now." So I'm just saying, if you want to keep them awake.
Yeah. Well, so the plan currently was kind of free game until 4 o'clock. And then from 4 to 8, there's actually going to be a HeroClix tournament. I think I've talked about that before, that we accidentally got double booked on. So at that time, we're going to lose about half of our space for, you know, 4 hours. So I figured at that point, everybody's kind of been playing video games all morning. We've gotten something for, you know, had somebody go get something for lunch, whatever, just still in your normal day. And that time go over to, I'd like to do like board games or multiplayer things. That way it's a whole lot easier to have three or four people in front of a TV, or 5 people sitting around a table, something like that.
Yeah.
So then at 8 o'clock, then you get into another stretch of gaming, and then probably about 9 or 10, maybe a little bit later than that, since we're all going to be live streaming it, all come together to do the Rock Band time. So I've gotten, in the course of my donations, I've gotten Rock Band requests, and hopefully we can get live requests with a $1 or $2 donation to help keep donations rolling during it. Get more requests to fill that out. And cause I found last year that Rock Band was a really good thing, cause it's the karaoke energy of everybody's coming together and singing the song, even if not on the mic. If you're playing the drums with the guitar, you're moving around, you know, using energy. And it's not something where if you're sitting there moving your mouse and keyboard, it's really easy to go from this to this. So I'm awake.
So the place this all came from is I'm whoring out this episode of the podcast. Basically,
yes, I know.
My own interest in your little do-gooder charity is currently at $145 out of $200, and I said I want this to be at $165, and if that happens, I will edit not only this very episode, but the one before this, all within the span of the next, like, day and a half. And get
and
them
that's got to happen for you by?
By the end of this recording.
By the end of this recording. Okay.
Yep. And you, if you start dragging this out, I'll know.
Okay.
And granted, we just spent about 8 minutes or so, maybe even more, talking about your charity.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here F5-ing the page, and it still says 145. So, are the updates live on this thing?
Pretty close. Sometimes it gets glitchy. Okay. I've been watching us go over and under the 60 mark. That's 60 teams out of a current 2,000.
But sitting here,
3,359. We're currently sitting at 61 overall rank, which is in the top 2%, which makes me feel awesome.
Sitting here in F5ing participant ID 54778's page, I should be able to pretty much see if someone adds in a dollar or two.
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, no one is yet, so I guess we're not hearing this one until you guys are done. We'll see. There's a whole podcast ahead of us, and we're going to start off by talking about some Transformers. Gents, we're going to talk about a pretty expensive toy. Now, Ultimetal Optimus Prime, when this first showed up, I am pretty sure when I talked about this for the very first time on the show, I said, this is going to be an effing expensive toy, and if any of you don't think this is going to be expensive, you're crazy.
Uh-huh.
So, we got a price on him. His price is 78,000 yen. Now,
7,800 yen. That's not
too bad. No, 78,000 yen. You got to add another zero on the end there.
Oh.
So in old timey yen, that would be around about $800. Given the current exchange rate, that might fluctuate a bit in the wrong direction. Big Bad Toy Store's current asking price, which was originally in the four-figure digits, they found a different distributor. Possibly they were driven to do so by the loud laughing reaction to their pre-order page. Is currently at 979, I believe, for pre-order.
With just squeaking it under.
With the $250 upfront non-refundable, so you can't just Big Bad pre-order sit on it. Now, I think... And okay, this is where you guys are going to go all crazy. At least, if not you two, then some of the listeners. Objectively, that price makes sense to me, and I'll explain why during this recording. But first, I want to get your guys' impressions of this. And Omegas, I want to hear your impression of when you saw... Let's just talk about the yen price. Let's ignore the... Because the Big Bad price, we all know it's marked up a bit due to importing. And I mean, that's the one everyone's citing. I'm more interested in talking about just the base yen price. Right. What was your reaction to that?
It still seemed, like, really high just because this doesn't have the usual engineering that goes into a transformer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard for me to see just, you know, because it's called Ultimetal. I expect a good amount of metal in this somewhere, anywhere. You know, so it's really hard just from the photos to see exactly, you know, what... exactly that price is paying for. Now, I do know Japanese high-end toys. I do know they get ludicrously expensive, and there's a lot more intricate detail to this, so I can see it being a high price point, but good lord.
That's a higher price point, it's hitting.
That's higher, yeah.
I mean, I think that something that first helps soften this blow for me is the shot of the cutaway feature, which I didn't realize this guy had.
So that's my question. Do both sides cut away? Or
yes.
Is it only one? Okay,
in
both
one,
sides cut away?
In one photo, the left side is gone. In other photos, pieces of the right side are
gone. The right side. Right. That was going to be my question of, because if both sides cut away like that, and both sides have all that piston-y stuff in it that looks like it's the actual jointage of it, I can see that price closer, at least.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to tell if it all breaks away. Because there's a lot of shots. There's a lot of shots where the armor's gone from both sides of the arms, but you look down at the legs and most of the leg is still there on the back.
The top left image in the news story, at the bottom right of that image, there's a shot of him with all the armor taken off. It has the red background.
Yeah, a cycle background on that one. Hold on.
Ultimetal Optimus Prime new images. Yeah, there's a shot of him with everything off. I don't know why I didn't see that until just now.
So
it looks like the chest, certain parts of the back, and the back of the legs are still there.
Yeah. So there's stuff that is, like, integral, I think, to the skeleton of the toy that's staying on. I mean, I guess they could have just had a spring release to let you rip the doors off the chest, too, while you're at it. But yeah, that thing is there. And I, to answer your question of diecast, I suspect a lot of the diecast is if not hidden, camouflaged within the internal structuring. I believe that is what the admittedly somewhat diecast light SoC DX Mazinger did with its cutaway feature. If I recall correctly, and I know someone listening to this possibly has one and can write me, because that is the closest comparison item to this right now, is that Mazinger, because it's a giant, expensive version of a popular character, and it has the cutaway feature. So... And it has the electronics, the light, if not lights, also the sounds. Like, this Optimus has that little buttony thing that says lines or whatever. So, Omegas, we got your take on this. Aaron, what was your take on the Ultimetal Optimus price reveal?
With the price, seeing that all of it has all of those actuators through it, I can see a higher price. But still, I think that the price given is... bonkers.
So, I agree with both of you that there's expensive, and that this obviously was going to be expensive, but this thing cleared a certain hurdle of expensiveness. But I got a theory on why it costs as much that I was thinking about. I bet you they're making barely none of these. Like, I bet you the production run on this thing is tiny.
Yeah, but still, that doesn't excuse.
Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm just saying, that's why I've when I was on Twitter, I was worried that I might elicit the wrong reaction when I said it.
Yeah.
But I certainly am not standing up for the price, nor am I ever going to tell someone they should pay this price for something, just because I'm saying they should. But looking at it as objectively as I can, a toy this intricate with all those features made of those materials this large, if it also is happening on a tiny production run, then the price makes sense to me when I see it. It's certainly not a price I'm going to pay anytime soon, but... And it makes zero marketing sense to me, even bearing in mind this is aimed at collectors. Often in Japan, Transformers items still have more of that wide audience marketing behind them, I find.
Yeah.
Especially something that has the Thrilling 30 tag on it. So this is
we'll,
like...
We'll get into Thrilling 30 talk.
Yeah, we will.
But from what we got.
This is like the easiest comparison I can think of what this is like. Is a mixture of SOC DX Mazinger Z and the future models Getter toys that have those tiny production runs and cost like $500 a piece, and they're made of like 80% diecast metal.
I don't know. The rough thing is I sit there and I look at that alt metal and I think that looks all right, and then I look at my first Masterpiece Prime that sits on my desk still, and that's 99%. I look at my second Masterpiece Prime that's sitting over there. That's maybe 94% different.
Yeah.
There's got to be something else to it, or somebody's just running away with a bucket full of yen.
Well, no, that's assuming someone's going to be buying this. Now, I think this company clearly wanted to make this. They were really interested in doing so, and I don't think they had any intention of... If they had any intention of making a financial success off of this, then they're crazy. This is clearly, to me, a bunch of fanboys who have the capital to make a fanboy thing. They could get it licensed. If they sell, like, three, then maybe they'll not, you know, be in a horrible financial position.
Yeah, I guess Japan always is a little bit different with their licenses. They're a little bit easier to give them out. Hasbro shepherds things a whole lot.
Like this,
closely.
This is like classic Max Factory Gokin, the Max Gokin series. This is like future models Getter toys. This is like Studio Hi-Fi. Like this is
like the weird Wonderfest stuff that always comes out. That's like, nope, it's real.
Yeah, that one day licensing that just makes it just slightly official, but it still goes.
I really bet you that the production run on this is tiny. I don't know enough about the industry to tell you what a tiny production run for something like this is. But that is the way that price makes sense to me, is that they're banking on the idea that that there's like a handful of people who want this, so they'll just make a handful and hope that those handful of crazies are still that crazy.
Yeah, I'd say production run, it'd probably be in the 4-digit production run.
I bet you it's in the 3-digit.
Maybe. I'm saying like just a 4-digit, not 9,000 of them, but 1,000.
If they're making even more than 500 of these, I'll be surprised.
I would.
With my very limited outsider knowledge,
I would top out at like maybe 1,000.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe 1,000 worldwide total. And has anybody tried to do the plug it in one at a time at Big Bad and see how many they've got?
Well, no, because they might just ding you for that many pre-order things.
Ah, you tried putting in 18, 250 each. Guess what, biatch?
I think this is one of the probably, like, I think they could have actually sold maybe a few more of these if they made a big deal about a limited production run.
Yeah.
And offered a numbered one, there's
only going to be 500. You're going to get a card that'll say what yours is.
Yeah.
And there you go.
That's why I think there's no marketing genius behind this. Because
so many businesses go poorly due to that.
Well, either there's no marketing in that they didn't realize they could, you know, make a bullet point out of a limited production run, or they're insane, like Play Imaginative, and they're 42 $500 Iron Man toys they want to make next year, and they're actually just making a full production run of these and hoping they're going to sell them. Anyway, I think this thing looks super cool, and I bet you in a year or two it won't be hard to find one for a more nominal price, you know, at the expense of perhaps an entire company going bankrupt. But
the sad thing is, if this wasn't so expensive, this would be a gold mine for third party and Dr. Wu and all that. Can you imagine how many battle damage upgrade sets would come this?
I mean, hey, we made an entirely different armor set to change the color scheme. Here's some extra plates you can screw in place of the ones that don't just pop off. Like, that's not even third party. That's just straight up knockoff. Like, we resin molded our own copy of the armor plates, but in black and teal.
Well, just like okay, let's take like the movie damage from like the big like fatal cut in the side thing. It's just this big cutaway hack taken out of this new armor piece you could clip on.
$30. Number.
It's so weird. Like, if it came with that, I could see the price.
Maybe it does. Who knows? It probably doesn't. But.
No, I'm sure it doesn't.
But. It's a very nice-looking toy, and I think it's borderline toy. They certainly are making enough for it to get the thrilling 30 tag, which is, you know, a mark of honor among Transformers items. I don't even know what you're salty about, but I want to keep poking the bear anyway.
Does it actually have the thrilling 30, or is it just the all I see is the Takara 30 years logo, which is completely different.
Yeah, it's not one of the numbered thrilling 30.
Okay, it's just in the 30th anniversary.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, it's not a blank of 30.
I forgot that was a different thing.
Then that's one that could have been thrilling. I'll show you some thrilling 30 action here
We'll put thrilling 30, 31 of 30 on this one. Just drive the completionist crazy.
Jeez. Listeners note, Aaron has promised to thrill us. Please note if he fails.
Now, if Aaron actually thrills us enough to get, you know...
I don't think it's terribly thrilling, but somebody at Hasbro did.
We'll see.
I'll just go with that, yeah.
We'll debate this. Still no update, by the way, on the Extra Life donation meter. So, Ultra Metal Optimus Prime, it's due out next year. We'll see what happens. I legitimately think that this is a very nice-looking piece, and I hope that whatever Artstorm is hoping to accomplish, they're accomplishing it, because they obviously have talent. I also kind of pillaged that right out of New Pick Picks, so just, you know, in all fairness, let's do some New Pick Picks. Aaron, what's yours? And
Transformers Gum DX Wave 2 Overlord with Brainmasters.
That was going to be our opening topic until I saw the Ultra Metal topic, so very well done, sir.
Biggity bam. I can't wait to build me more Transformer robot toys out of gum toys package stuff.
You don't actually build them out of the gum.
You don't?
Oh, no.
Then what's been all the trees I've been eating?
Yo, Aaron, tell me about your thoughts. Now, you know, just assuming, you know, that you were, for instance, you know, about to take a long sleep because you're bleeding on the inside of your stomach. You don't have stomach aches, do you?
Not anymore.
It's been a while since you built your last gum kit, right?
Yeah, it was about the time I built Max.
Yeah, but the stomach aches are gone.
Yeah.
But is your stool still kind of red?
Well, yeah, it tends to be.
You eat a lot of steak, though, right?
Yeah.
You got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about. You're good.
I'm... So for being the Overlord Wave, I think I'm more interested in the Brainmasters.
Me too, because I am really curious how they're going to work all that stuff together.
It looks like... It kind of looks like this may be a wave of 6 boxes.
Yeah.
Because they show, like, this weird jet-looking thing that has a sword, what looks like the sword, the fists, the chest, and, like, 2 parts that I think are maybe combiner parts.
I think that's
chest or something.
Yeah, I think that's all.
Because there's
like,
an orange one and a yellow one for whatever it was last year and Braver.
Braver,
no.
Yeah, Braver. Yeah. Blacker's the black one.
Blacker's the black one. Yeah.
Almost. So, I almost said it. I almost said it again, but I didn't. Pat me on the back.
Good job.
Thank you.
But it looks pretty cool, and it has better proportions than the original one did.
Well, I mean, that's the Kabaya guys. That's their whole thing. They try within their little box. They try to update what they can. Like, everyone looks better in this set. Yeah.
And then Overlord just looks kind of dumpy.
He looks okay. I think Overlord. Yeah. I need to know how big it'll be.
That'd go a long way to knowing. Yeah. But also,
there were measurements last time we saw these guys.
I can't use math.
Yeah. That involves going back more than a week's worth of stuff.
I got to find a ruler.
Yeah, but it looks like the legs are all sticker.
Eh?
Like they didn't mold the teal color. It's the I can't tell if that's a black or a like a midnight
blue.
It should be a really dark blue.
Yeah.
That then has just massive green stickers, and those never tend to be perfect. I stickered up some stuff over the last couple of weeks that I guess I'll finally talk about also.
I used some Repro labels on Prime Wheeljack, which had some of the Oracal bits.
Yeah.
And using Oracal bits, especially ones like Prime Wheeljack has some of those for the little wings on his back, and you actually have to use a hairdryer to make the Oracal shrink and conform to the sculpt on those wings. And doing that always just makes me realize that Oracal has ruined stickers for me in a way, because it's so magical that I get upset when I just use normal stickers that, you know, when I point a hairdryer at them, they don't conform beauty. They actually just catch fire and... Yeah.
So I'm excited for these. It's always fun to get to build that construction feel of things.
A build.
Yep.
I think these look pretty cool. I don't know if I'm going to get them like at launch, but I find online
it's an awesome convention pickup.
Yeah, online I find it's hard to find these things after the fact to a degree, but at conventions they are everywhere.
Mhm.
They're happily everywhere. Yeah,
because Because it's very easy for a dealer to pick up three cases of them and go, here you go, nerds.
Yeah, then you know, $12 for singles or 10 for each if you buy the whole set, and you're basically making your money back plus a handful of change.
Mm-hmm. And it gets people to your table. It's good business sense is what that is.
Kabaya kits are the ultimate, well, I'm already buying stuff, so I guess I'll get this too. Because that's also great for haggling. Like, what if I get these three? Knock some money off. And he just knocks off enough to be giving you them at cost. And you don't even know. Because you're already like, oh, I found the third-party toy I wanted. Science. Omegas, what are your thoughts on the Gum DX Wave 2?
They are looking really, really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I skipped the last wave because it was just the combiner leaders, and that's not what I think of when I think Kabaya kits. Yeah, you know, I think of these like obscure characters with a moderate amount of simplification as well as upgrading,
and
which is this brilliant little combination.
What I heard is that the combiner leaders turned out great, but the combiner limbs turned out totally not great.
Yep.
Everyone's been telling me to just not bother, and I keep going like, no, there must be a way. They're like, no, there isn't. Stop. And I'm like, but, and it just hit me.
Yeah, I found that out with the Protectobots. Because they had those little, that's where they started experimenting with those little ones.
But at least they were in relevant colors, right? Apparently the problem with these others,
yes, but...
These new ones, so there's four, right? You get two in relevant colors and two in whatever the hell colors, and there's no option for getting all four in relevant colors, and each of the boxes for the limbs can be built into one of two members, so it's also really hard to figure out how the hell to actually just buy the four limbs, and from what I heard, it's a mess.
Yeah, I looked at that and I was like, ugh, I have no idea what they're getting at. All I can remember was when I got those Protectobots, they had the two new ones, and those were the first Kabayas that self-destructed on me.
Yeah, I didn't hear much good about those.
Yeah, well, I had it set up to where it was like the six little ones all combined into the Gaia Guardian.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they call it.
And all right, we know you like Kabaya out there! Shut up! Thank you. Sorry. Horns honking.
But I was rearranging shelves one day. I was rearranging shelves one day, and I went to pick him up by his chest, and his legs didn't follow.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, They use mostly pegs, so it's floor polish fixable, but it's just a bunch of bother.
No. This one snapped in half.
Oh. Okay. Oh. I misunderstood the nature of the self-destruction.
No. This was the toy that was making, like, the midsection. Not the chest, but, like, the waist and the hips.
That's where the science went, yo, molecules, stop binding. Goodbye, a plastic syndrome.
I steer clear to the cheap ones since then. And like I said, that just seemed like too conventional. You know, like, I've got an updated Silverbolt. I've got an updated Onslaught and all that. You know, what do I need that for? This is exactly what I love about Kabayakits. I am seriously looking forward to these guys.
Yeah. All I want to know now about them is how they're going to be sold. Like, in terms of the... do I just need to buy a case, or can I easily be one of each?
What worries me is these are marketed as a DX set, like Maximus, where that was you get two of two parts and then one of the third. So you get two that are completely redundant and useless, which that confused the hell out of me.
That's why I totally just avoided the cases on Maximus.
I don't get it. It's like, okay, ship them in boxes of six, two of each. Perfect.
No, you got to
make
it
simple.
Little Jimmy Salaryman has got to come back. He's only got money for two, so there's two there, and he can, you know, have his two Maximus legs.
Jeez. You know, at least with this set, you're not left with, like, a third of a torso to play with.
I hope so.
I give it that, at least.
I hope so. Yeah, there's a very logical way this could all come together, and I'm hoping it's true. And I just, you know, I hope the stickers are good. I hope the plastic is decent. I hope the gum tastes nice.
That's the stuff on the plastic on the trees, right?
We gotta, Aaron, have a talk later. It's not not related to this. It's different.
Okay.
But we gotta talk about life. Well, Omegas. You told us about Gum DX Wave 2, and that was Aaron's new picture pick. So this is my long-winded way of saying, what's your new picture pick?
Something came up that was just random and fascinating to me. Apparently in Colombia, a newspaper is going to give away this entire set of Prime figures.
Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you following me now?
I am now. I was like, what is he talking about? And then I remembered I'd actually seen that news story.
Yeah. The newspaper El Tiempo giving away a set of nine Prime figures that reminds me of the Titan Guardians they were selling at San Diego Comic-Con.
I think the catch-all phrase for those are the Titans. That's like Hasbro's catch-all for that style. They're doing them with the Marvel heroes as well.
It reminds me of that because it's non-transforming. They're just rudimentary articulation figures, but it's nine completely new molds I've never seen before. I've never seen them marketed elsewhere, and you know, actually not bad to get in one little box.
Yeah,
I like that they're providing that carrying case for them as well.
Yeah, it's a neat little thing. Apparently, this newspaper does this a lot. It releases these batches of collector's figures. So, just this nice little collector's box with all nine is just... It's a really pretty package to just randomly give out.
Where was the magazine
from? I'm kind of impressed. Colombia.
Colombia.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For $8, you can get one of the figures... In a hardcover book, and then there's like a. You have to call a phone number or something to get the 10 with everything.
I wonder if these are going to end up being rare.
I would bet that they will.
Yeah.
And there's a Viacon, so I need like eight.
Yeah, you can get singles, right? So you can get a bunch of single Viacons and you get the 10.
Yeah, but it's probably blind which single you get.
Well, shake down enough children who've bought their singles, and you'll...
I'm going to Colombia for some import-export.
I am the scourge of El Tiempo. And I think it looks really cool. I actually quite like the Breakdown. That's the one that stands out to me.
Yeah, poor Breakdown. It only gets a lot of little mini toys and everywhere but Japan.
Well, at least that Breakdown, like, it catches its proportions nicely. It gets it, you know, it gets who Breakdown is.
Yeah.
Like I said, for giveaway fairs, like, I wouldn't even think that a newspaper would give away things like this anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and they're actually fairly nice. I like the look of them.
I'd like to know who, I mean, maybe this information is just impossible to figure out at this point, but I'm curious who did the sculpting, because, I mean, the sculpting's pretty good. I wouldn't mind knowing more about who was involved.
This is going to turn into one of those really random, obscure things that you hear about and no one actually owns.
Oh, this time we actually have a record on the internet, so it's not going to be, I visited Columbia once when I was a kid and I got this really cool Prime figure and does anyone know where this came from? And then everyone going like, what? That's fake! You made that! And having a big fight on Alt Toys Transformers.
Well, it's going to be like a Salt Man Z thing where, you know, it's something you hear about, and it's this random obscure thing, and everyone knows it, but does anyone own one? Does anyone remember anyone who actually has one of these?
And
I'm sure people...
I got it when I went to see the Colombian cut of the 86 movie, which had blood and gore and lots more swearing. I think it was Japanese.
Magna still gets ripped into parts, and...
Yeah, and blood comes out, not oil, blood. Red human blood. I think it's really cool. And I'm hoping that some fans, in the online fandom, in or out of Columbia, are able to get a hold of a couple of sets of those and, you know, share how it turned out. Maybe it's all just made out of plaster. I don't know.
They'll be body packing them back to the Transformers fans.
Yeah.
Just hope that balloon doesn't burst.
Oh,
get PVC all in.
This is just making me think of the movie Maria Full of Grace.
Yeah.
It's making me think of the scene on the airplane, that really not cool scene with the toothpaste. Have either of you seen Maria Full of Grace?
Vaguely remember it, I think.
It's about trafficking.
Yeah.
In the airport. Or in the airplane, she goes to use the washroom, and she has to use the toothpaste bottle so she can continue trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things that get me uncomfortable, and I know what they are. That's not one of those things where because usually I can at least see it coming, that I'm going to get squicked at. I didn't think that was going to squick me as hard as that did. And I was like, oh my god! And I was watching this at school, so I was like, I guess I have to keep... And I looked around, and I wasn't the only one who was getting uncomfortable. So I was like, okay, well, at least we can all talk about this later, once we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie, though, by the way. Recommended. I liked it. My own new picture pick is going to be a third-party toy. Have you guys heard of Microblaze Creations? Probably not, because they haven't released anything. And their first release is numbered 002. But it's that Fall of Cybertron Onslaught that mysteriously showed up in pictures taken on someone's desk a while ago. So this is a third-party Fall of Cybertron Onslaught, fully, like, standalone figure who looks a lot more game-accurate, can turn into a torso, a larger torso with thighs and forearms, I believe. Not forearms, sorry, biceps. So he kind of cheats the combined mode a little bit. But he can combine with the other four deluxes. He comes with extra pieces for them as well to upgrade their both their modes. Swindle gets a completely new chest plate and head, it looks like. I think this thing looks really neat. I'm still fully behind the Echoes TF upgrade set, like the trailer of parts that just upgrade the five existing toys. I think that's actually more impressive, what that one's pulling off. But I also really like this one because... I'm a big fan of the dumpy military meathead look that the video game Onslaught's robot mode had going on, which was not carried out in the toy whatsoever. So I'm kind of just into having a slavish version of that character's model that can transform into all three modes. What I'm saying is I'm probably just going to end up down the road if I have my druthers getting the Echoes TF set and this Microblaze set, because I have more than one Bruticus, so I can use all of them. And the first Echoes TF Bruticus set is being designed towards the retail colors, whereas this one clearly is meant for the Platinum SDCC colors, so I get my cake and I get to eat it, too. The only thing that has me not saying, oh, I'm going to buy it, is no price has been announced whatsoever, nor any means of how it's going to come out, so maybe this will all go bad. There's a dog outside who agrees with me. Aaron, have you seen this thing?
I'm looking at it now.
Ah.
I really would like an inexpensive way to make my stupidly expensive purchase at the SCCC Bruticus come together.
How do you feel about the cheating on the arms?
What? The fact that it looks like there's completely new guts that the other ones just sit on?
Yeah.
Feels really cheaty. I mean, it's nice that there are new hands because those existing hands are weird double thumb things.
Mm-hmm.
For left or right side, if memory serves. Or is it like thumb in the middle of the hand? I forget exactly which way it is.
So one of them does that. I think a couple of them do that. Some of them have a different approach. Like, Swindle just has two different hands.
Yeah. Having an all new core piece really makes sense. I don't think that there's any way to have improved the existing Onslaught that's not replacing everything. So I think that's done better. It gets rid of the weird wheels that have the port sticking out of them. I think it looks all right. Unfortunately, I think it's probably going to be like a pricey endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this being 125 to 150.
Yeah, I'm expecting 150 given all the extra bits he has for the others.
And yeah.
Did you notice that everything involving Brawl has either been blurred out or silhouetted?
Yeah.
Like, what is there to hide? Who's going to get mad? Oh, the panel lining on that foot piece is different than in the promo pictures. Return. Yeah. I'm not reviewing
especially
this.
Especially the fact that it's all resin right now anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they're showing...
It also looks like they only have... Well, they intermittently have a left hand. Then they lose the right hand for two photos.
Well, that's the gun mode for the... Because that was a thing in the game, I believe. Like, the blast-off forearm could turn into a cannon.
I'd want something more of a cannon than just the wrist stump.
Yeah, well, maybe you should learn how to live more modestly. I don't know what else to say.
You sure told me.
Yeah, I did. I'm pretty sure this thing's going to be pricier than I think a lot of folks are expecting. I say that, maybe I should eat my words a little bit. I think that people are getting more used to the way that these toys are made and that there are a lot more people with realistic expectations in terms of price right now, I think. Certainly not everyone. There are still a lot of folks who seem a little pie in the sky about this stuff, but I just want to know why they're hiding all this Brawl stuff. I mean, like, they're showing the Swindle chest and head. Maybe Brawl, it looks like there's, like, new legs, or at least new feet for him. Maybe that's a thing that they're still trying to nail down.
I'm
just wondering, what could be so secretive about your Brawl upgrade that you wouldn't want anyone else, like any other third party, to figure out, oh, we're so clever. We cannot. Yeah, we cannot reveal this yet. And why were they so, like, if you had all this done, and you had all these new parts for all the other limbs made, and you had this huge torso, who was in such a rush that they couldn't just wait for Brawl to be done and photograph him too?
No, blur it.
Yeah.
Blur the foot.
Blur.
Look.
The public
we gotta
is not
get
ready
something,
for Brawl.
We got to get something out there before the end of quarter. There it is.
I admit...
Is it near the end of a quarter? I don't know. I'm using jargon I've heard before.
For all the joking
what's
I'm making...
That's the change
this
thing,
is,
right?
This is why you're not a COO.
It is actually... It's telling that these guys actually do have a grip on the denizens of your average Joe Public third-party toy forum, in that they're aware that there is going to be a loud couple of folks who would get upset about that foot changing between now and release. So
you know what?
I think they are on the right track, to be honest, to blurt that out.
I think I got it. I think I got, and I don't think it's because it's still in development. I think they're honestly going, why do we reveal everything now? Like, maybe the improvements to, well, let's be honest here. Brawl is kind of like the most, you know, he's the low tier. He's really back heavy and he's kind of thin compared to this. But if they did something like that big to him, maybe they're intentionally holding off just so like later on they could come out and say, hey, look what else we did.
Yeah, there's
just
a chance.
Just so people don't lose interest in it.
There's a chance of that. I mean, and the silhouette of the robot mode, I'm tired of the word silhouette, by the way. I think it shows to me that there is something going on. So I'm saying all this. There's a good chance I just don't remember what his video game character bio art looks like, and that's what that is. But maybe there's a chance they are trying to fix his legs, which are his biggest problem. Maybe work in the artillery mode a bit more solidly.
Yeah, that's...
I'm spitballing now, but...
I don't know. I see no reason to hold back. I don't know. That's always the don't toy if you have the information, release it, and then you have more time to react rather than just being like, well, I don't know. You know, the blur in the foot just seems like they have no idea. I almost wonder if it's not just a cup that it's sitting in so that it stays upright.
Oh, they haven't actually made that part yet.
They haven't made it yet.
Use some black. Just make it look like there's fins on there.
Foot goes here is actually what it has stenciled on top of it. And then they're like, oh, crap, well, we can't do that because that makes us look dumb.
It's actually just like a robot head. When blurred, yeah. It looks kind of like a foot. That might be also what's going on. I don't know. You know, these guys' homepage, like many new third parties, their homepage is a Facebook page. But yeah. It's smart. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen with these guys. Any new company that gets this ambitious, you know, Warbitron being another one, I'm curious of two things. Number one, if they're going to pull it off. Number two, in some cases, where most of their guys actually came from. What other groups they've worked with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm curious to see how this thing turns out. Microblaze creation. Microblaze. I don't get that either.
It's a small fire.
Right.
They're not macroblaze, they're microblaze.
It's a really small fire.
Yeah. No, that'd be like nanoblaze. Picoblaze.
Picoblaze would get my attention a lot more. Micro, and yet it's a giant robot that they're making. I don't know, man. Anyway, those are our new picture picks. We're going to talk a little bit about what robots look like in Transformers 4. I don't think this is a spoiler, what we're going to talk about. Especially because we're mostly just going to be talking about Optimus Prime. Because the other two names in this news story are barely a part of this news story, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't even think there's much we could really say about them because you can hardly see them. But there's a whole lot of Optimus Prime in here. So, if you don't want to know what two other, you know, robot names are, two of which you've probably already guessed are in the movie, and if you don't want to hear us describing what Optimus Prime might look like in Transformers 4, I don't think any of those are spoilers, now that I've had, you know, a couple years to think about it since the last time we talked about movie talk, but maybe you do. And if you do, there's nothing wrong with that. If you skip ahead, we're going to have a great listener question from Whelp D. If you have no means of skipping ahead, then...
Good luck.
Yeah, best of luck. And I just didn't want to bump this to the end because once we're finished what we got this week right now, our energy tends to really be front-loaded. And I don't want us to hit this thing after a what we got session. Because I really want to talk about this Optimus Prime. So, okay, here's the two names. This is the image leaked. Now, of course, this is a leak, take it with a grain of salt, but the Optimus Prime, who we see the most of, matches up with a whole lot of stuff we've seen that we know is official.
Uh-huh.
But the image is Autobots. And there's Optimus Prime, and you can also see from the torso up, Bumblebee. Spoiler, guys! Bumblebee is in the movie. And behind them is a large, vicious-looking creature, which is probably, this is your last chance to get away, ladies and gentlemen, probably Grimlock. He looks like a robot T-Rex. There's nothing else to infer from that. Like, I can't see anything else.
Maybe it's Beast Wars Megatron, come back.
Like, he's covered up by everyone.
And he's an Autobot, because it's Autobots. I don't know.
All we can do is count his teeth.
Oh my god, Dino King's in the movie.
Yep. One too many lots. He has lots of teeth.
Yeah, he has lots of teeth. He looks a bunch like a T-Rex. Do you guys have any, like, I really don't have anything else to say about Grimlock right now, because I can hardly see him. Do you guys
He looks like a dinosaur.
He's blue, so clearly it's Bakon Cindersaur.
Oh, damn. They're raiding the archives. First we got the Fallen, now this. And the Bumblebee, you can see a bit more of him, but between being monochromed in gold and his legs not really being there, I also don't have very much to comment on. Most of what I would say about him, I'd rather be saying about Optimus, because clearly there's a very shared way that these guys were updated. So, do you guys agree? Should we just go on Optimus Prime?
Yeah.
Main event it?
Uh-huh.
I love this design, guys. I really like this design. It speaks to me an image of European knight armor. People I've talked to have said they saw more of a samurai motif from the loincloth. I can accept that, but to me it looks a lot more like a paladin skirt. Like, the whole thing, Prime looks like a Templar. He looks like a holy knight. His exhaust pipes are wings. He's got, like, a sword and a shield. And to me, there's a very European slant to the way his armor is built on him. Also, he looks a lot cleaner. It looks like a lot of lessons were learned from the Prime design style in ways that I so desperately wanted them to be learned by the live-action movies.
Yeah.
There are plates on these guys. We're not seeing so much exposed machinery that could become insanely busy on screen. The color scheme, to me, really works. Like, the red is a lot more of a detailed color now, but I'm fine with that. We'll have a very blue Optimus Prime. Whatever. Like, the design is so much of a, to me, an upgrade, and represents so much more a character that I can see, like a characterful silhouette from, and that looks like something that is visually interesting to me. I am very pleasantly surprised. Extremely pleasantly surprised. Now, you guys, your turn to take a crap on it, because I did all the loving. Aaron, how do you feel about Optimus Prime?
I want to say I follow a lot of what you have to say. I think I would have liked to see a little bit more red in him, but it's not the OMG end of world that some people have gone on about. I just prime with a bit more red because he's normally mostly red, but hey, the world can change. It's not a big deal. That was just something that I noticed. I think in the white background pictures, it ends up being like his arms and his ankles are red with a little bit across the chest. I do like the fact that it's not all exposed gears and much more visible panels of truck. You can tell that it's parts of things, but not, you know, it forms to him rather than him forming to it. I see the European knight in there as well. You see the stuff in front of the crotch would be like the tunic undershirt underneath piece of like a breastplate where they've got their padding underneath because just straight steel hitting you would hurt a whole lot. So they're wearing layers and it definitely feels like that is a layered CGI form, you know. Because between the one of him with epic stance versus running, you can see that it looks like some of that shoulder arm stuff comes up the way that like a plate armor would.
And it's just a tighter and stronger aesthetic that still uses the idea that the vehicle mode can turn into as many pieces as it needs to.
Right.
And rather than having just those pieces all pushed into the shape of a humanoid body, it feels like there's more stylization going on here, a little bit more. And it's just I don't dislike Movie Prime at all, but this is the welcome change that I wanted but thought we wouldn't get when it was said that we were going to have some redesign on everyone in this movie.
Yeah.
Omegas, what are your thoughts on Formers Prime?
Too blue, ruined forever.
Yep. Especially that shield. Why isn't the shield red?
Yeah, shield.
No, why isn't it orange? Am I right?
Yeah. Obviously. In reality, like, I would prefer some more red in the chest, you know, just to kind of convey that. But at the same time, there's part of me that's going, you know, Movie Prime at this point is so divorced from G1 Prime that I don't mind the separation between the two aesthetics.
Yeah, right. He's very much his own entity, which is the thing that I feel like there's nothing else I can say to people who are upset how much he's not like G1 Prime. Where I kind of, there are so, like, ignoring that Transformers is a multiverse property. Like, this character, especially if you've read the books and the comics and stuff that go with the movies, albeit loosely, like, this is not G1 Optimus Prime whatsoever. This is a different character.
Yeah. Beyond that, he's still made of many, many small components.
Mm.
You know, my grief with your old, with the aesthetic from the first three was you've got so many little tiny bits just laid over top of a skeleton. It doesn't look like it forms anything solid or like actual sustainable armor on someone who's supposed to be a war machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, you can still tell he's made of many, many bits, but the bits come together so tight and cleanly, it does create this much more solid aesthetic that is desperately needed in the movies. And thanks to all that solid blue, you know, the issue we've had in the past of this robots blending together will hopefully be, you know, abated somewhat.
Yeah, like this, he is basically a tall blue warrior, and ideally that will be, like, the directing will still enter into it to a degree, but it feels like there's going to be more to help our eyes anchor onto the robots now, if Optimus is going to be an example of what we're going to be seeing. Like, we're not going to be trying to, like, watch these jumbly things as the camera's also moving all over the place. Like, I feel like the shapes are stronger. Also, the European Knight thing makes me think of Siegfried, a character from Soul Calibur, who some might know as the guy who went on to become Nightmare. And I said this before, I also think, like, you know, when I say Templar, I also think Crusaders. Like, this Optimus looks, he has a very holy look to him. Still fits in with my own interpretation of this character to a degree. Like, he looks intense. He looks like he very much believes in something. Looks like he very much is not ready to hear you say that you think differently. The head design is more regal. Still has a slight threatening tone to it, but with a lot more regality. The regality is what makes me like this so much. It's one of those times where I really got to say, like, me and Random Factor on Twitter are, like, the two members of the unironic We Like Movie Prime for This Reason club. Like, it's nice that people can laugh at it. I laugh at it, too. But I legitimately also see Movie Prime's storyline as him being this intensely flawed, highly dangerous individual who is, like, walking on cardboard wherever he goes. And I don't know. I feel like there are people involved in the movie, whether they intend to or not, they are carrying that message forward. And I still see some of that in this guy. And I love this design, because this is just, it's carrying this whole character forward. I want to see, I mean, I say all this, he's probably going to end up having, like, one or two funny lines in the movie, and that's about it. But I really hope that this visual design can, at least maybe in the comic books or something, carry forward the saga of this guy. Because I imagine this guy, I've rewatched this clip I shared on Twitter of some of the moments from Dark of the Moon, especially the final moments where, you know, he puts on his faceplate one last time and then he just ruthlessly murders Megatron and Sentinel Prime, spoilers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we got dun, 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 and then just roll credits, right? And, like, I want to know, and this may never get explored, but to me, I am intensely interested, especially looking at this Optimus Prime design, what the mindset of this character is now that, like, basically, like, someone who was a brother to him and someone who was a father to him were personally killed by himself with his hands, like, what his headspace would be like at that point. And this design, like, this redesign, this may not get explored anywhere, but it speaks to me like someone must be seeing the threads I'm seeing of, like, this Optimus needs to reinvent himself, because it's like, wow, I have nothing now. There's nothing left. I don't know. I wish I could brainstorm on these movies with some people. There are so many story threads on these things, legitimate story threads that you could take out of this, out of the stuff. I'm just rambling now.
I don't know.
I'm having one of those moments.
I do like, as I look at it more, I like the collar. You know, just some of the things that do imply more armor. The collar around the helmet.
And it's sloped
up. It also looks like the helmet overall is like taller and thicker.
Yeah.
When you look at like eye spacing and like the mouth guard. So it's almost, I would be interested to see if there is the logic of, no, this is the previous Prime in armor, not just like with more armor, which I guess minor detail, but it just seems like there's, if you look at like arm to head to legs, things look thicker but not bigger.
I really want to see
my brain's slowly rolling.
I really want to see the pornographic sweep the camera slowly around transformation sequence for this model. Like I want to.
Yes.
That's what I really want to see now, because he's the one who always gets it of all the characters in the movies. It's always Optimus Prime who gets the almost animated tier. Watch how this thing is actually going to transform. No, we're not totally cheating it moment. Even though they kind of are, but they show you where everything goes one way or another. And I so want to see that with this model. This is great. Like this is the first time I've been legit getting some actual excitement for seeing Transformers 4. Cause now I'm seeing a robot. I'm seeing what a robot looks like in the Transformers movie. I am smiling right now. You guys can't see this. I have a grin. I have a grin on my face. So you can, because of the camera. This thing does match up in some ways with the toy that was revealed at New York Comic Con. Apparently, it matches up with the Halloween costume. To be perfectly honest, I don't see that at all. But apparently, everyone else does. So I'll just take their word for it. Yeah, I like it. I really hope. That, especially because this is the Optimus Prime, I'm hoping that if anyone from Transformers 4 does get a collector-oriented, overly complicated toy, this design gets it, because I want that toy. But I'll live with it if that doesn't happen, because there have been arguments I've seen about, you know, whether or not this thing can actually transform in a toyetic level feasibly at all, like Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime. I think it could happen in a way that at least maintains the silhouette of this body, perhaps not the exact detailing.
I'm thinking that or some inside out.
Yeah.
Style action where a whole lot of the outside just ends up like inside the leg and the torso.
Yeah. Some Viacon action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could see that. And I mean that leader one they showed off is doing a whole lot of interesting stuff anyway. Like we discussed it. He's clearly not just a robot inside a truck shell that's on his back. To a degree that is happening in some places, but yeah, I don't know about you guys. I feel pretty good looking at this. I don't think the movie's going to be amazing. It's still the same, you know, production team. It's going to have its inbuilt dumb that's going to come with it, but on the visual end.
You mean Mike Bay leading it's not gonna?
I'm hoping that he works like
some things.
The Chinese zombie, the shoe-eating Chinese zombie, armed with an air conditioner with the strength of seven men. Maybe he's just gonna work into the movie somehow. That could be. You know, get that guy who played, what was it, Lo Wang or whatever?
Yeah.
Deep Wang, get Deep Wang to return.
Deep Wang
playing.
Comes
back as a zombie armed with an air conditioner who throws seven men around and eats their shoes.
Yeah, just chews through the shoes like nothing.
Yeah. Man, that story keeps inflating and inflating. And I've kind of wanted to just leave it alone, because the more that comes out about it, the less interested I get. I prefer our version, where we're just operating off of Michael Bay's account. Anything else you guys want to say about this news item? I don't really have anything to say about the other two guys, but...
No. Because, well, the other two guys are just images in that Autobot splash.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a Bumblebee that looks more angular, but he still has like the indent out forearm that the last couple generations of Bumblebee have had.
Well, one can infer,
and it looks like he has a mouth grill thing.
Yeah, one can infer from that Bumblebee that he's like his chest, his pectorals look like they carry a similar vibe as this Optimus. But I mean, that's his pectorals. That's all I can really see.
Yeah, right.
There's a really fuzzy image from a clapper board.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's got Bumblebee on. That's where the design scares me, because it's a lot of twisted around gray and yellow, where it looks like everything that was taken out to make Optimus more sleek, Bumblebee got the other end.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know. Like
I bet also
like
on a clapperboard that might just be like some messing around art, not necessarily the.
Which would be hysterical.
Yeah. And he also looks more terrifying than Optimus. Like, he looks like a demon machine. Like, it looks like just metal SCU around a skeleton. Like,
well, the pentagram shield is not helping that image.
Yeah. It's not like I have to dig hard to continue this theory that the Autobots, you know, are not necessarily wholesome good guys in these live-action movies. There are people working on these movies who support me, is all I'm trying to say. By the way, the one news item that I don't want to talk about, because I actually decided not to watch it, there's apparently a YouTube clip of Optimus Prime speaking, and apparently it's a line that sounds a whole lot like it might be like straight up from the end of the movie. I don't really want to take things that far, because I still want to go watch the movie and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, hope you guys don't mind that I'm leaving that news item alone.
I saw it and was like, ooh, no. I have been told from somebody else that did listen to it that it is kind of spoilery, and that it was because one of the actresses needed to have a real voice and not somebody just reading it.
Yeah.
So they had to have Peter Cullen there because somebody had to be an actor.
I can dig that. It's hard to reciprocate when there's no energy in what's being, you know, sent your way.
Yeah.
The only other
you mean talking to the tennis
heads
ball
on a
pole?
Yeah.
Yeah. They upgraded to heads on a stick when there's not cameras around.
I did watch a YouTube clip that had a weird roaring noise, which was really funny because it was just a crowd running off screen left, and there's a roar, and the same crowd comes running back from screen left.
Yeah.
And I was like, that sounds like they're just having a bad day.
It's how I imagine a... It honestly, it's how I imagine a Godzilla movie gets filmed. Someone play a roar, just gonna run back and forth.
Run away from the noises. We have cameras running. Ignore us.
Just some extra off to the side going, booga booga, run from me.
But that's our Transformers talk. That's the kind of Transformers talk I've been waiting for this entire time. So I feel good. Let's do a listener question that we have here from Whelp D, who says, "Hello, good sirs. Thank you for answering my question last time on your show. After some thought, I've arrived at a new question. Hasbro thinks Transformers needs a bit of healthy competition." This is a hypothetical situation, I'm guessing. "You have been selected to look at Takara Tomy's old Brave series and select one to revamp and modify to try and compete against Transformers, because I guess in this reality, Hasbro have such a monopoly they literally do not care anymore. They are manufacturing their own competition. Which would you choose and why? Please don't all choose Gaugaigar, but if you must, oh well, it was quite a good series. Any ideas on the story would count for bonus points. Thank you for looking at my ramblings. Whelp D," pronounced Whelp D. You were right the first time, Mr. Vangelis. Thank you.
First off, there are points in the first place that we need bonus points for?
I wasn't going to bring that up, but it was on the back of my mind, where apparently there are only bonus points. There are no simple points.
Do we get to trade these points in for something?
Yeah, pride, self-respect.
Okay.
Pride.
You said that the first time.
Yep, saying it again. Omegas, what Brave series would you revamp to compete against Transformers?
This is hard. I'm really not up on my Brave.
Just of like maybe the two or seven that do come to mind, just grab one. We'll make this interesting.
God, that's tough. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Jay Decker.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like this. Like, if you've never seen it, like, imagine if Prowl became a Prime and then had like a Power Master body. Like, it's just this, like I can imagine going this different direction with it. Whereas, okay, it's not giant robot. You got this giant like law enforcement series.
Yeah. All right, I can see that. It gives you a strong kind of binding theme for the characters. And if I recall, the Brave Police have a decent variety of good guys to choose from. Yeah, Super Build Tiger. That guy is badass.
If all else fails, that's where Shadow Maru comes from.
Yeah, bring in Six Shot. There are fanon theories that Shadow Maru may or may not actually be Six Shot.
Of course there are.
Yeah. I didn't even write them. Aaron, what Brave series would you revamp to fight back against the Transformers?
I have no idea because I have not watched any Brave.
Okay, go to Google right now.
And watch all the Brave?
No, type in Takara Brave series, do a Google image search, and pick the one that looks cool, and I'll tell you what series it's from.
Okay, so what I'll do actually is kind of bleed a little bit into my what we got this week.
Cheater. All right.
I think it is from Fightbird.
Fightbird is what the casuals say.
I'll say the Brave Fighter of Sun Fightbird because of some what we got this week.
So you basically want a whole bunch of jets.
Sure, I like jets. I like airplanes.
All right.
They're fun. They fly.
Well, lucky for you, there's also Thunder Baron, who is a really interesting design that I would love to see fleshed out with a bit more character and whatnot. I would just say, if we're going to compete against Transformers, Dagwon. Because Dagwon is basically Super Sentai plus Transformers plus Super Robots. If you guys haven't seen Dagwon, that's the one where it is pretty much, it's like Power Rangers, except that all of the Rangers can also become a Transformer, and a bunch of them can combine. And it's not like, it's not like piloted robots, it is literally like a spirit, like, combination thing. So it's like, there's no little Dagwon man inside the robot is the Dagwon man, who turns into a car.
Right.
I think because that just has such a strong basis. It one of the biggest competitors for Transformers is Power Rangers. This is bringing in some of the goodness of Power Rangers, some of the goodness of Transformers, mushing them together. Also, the whole cast are attractive young male characters. We'll bring in the female demographic some more there. You know, a la Japan, J boys. That's what I would pick. I have no idea what the story would be other than just using the story from the Brave series.
Well, then it really is like Power Rangers.
Yeah. We're just bringing over the Japanese storylines, get Judd Lin in on this, we'll get someone to rewrite it. Go say! I haven't actually watched any of Megaforce. Because I had the same thing happen with Samurai, where I was like, I'll watch them transform, and I couldn't deal with it! So, I just didn't feel very drawn to it. I appreciate the decision to run with the camp, but to me, I need my Power Rangers to be campy in a slightly different tone. Basically, I need another RPM. I still haven't felt as good about Power Rangers as I have when I was watching RPM. And I found out RPM is a Shout Factory. They've got sick DVDs with all the Power Rangers series. They got RPM. You want RPM? Buy the $900 or whatever box set. Because it doesn't sound like...
Or you check Netflix.
I guess. I want discs. I want discs. I want to put them in my Vengix cosplay. Anyway. We have one more listener question. This also tunes in a little bit to a what I got this week. Gentlemen!
I love the paper roll.
We have a snail mail listener question. This comes from the Bearded Stranger, who I constantly referred to as the Bearded Stran. He informed me privately that that was because Twitter did not have enough characters for the bearded stranger. That's a good enough
likely
reason.
Likely story.
Good enough reason. I bought some stuff off him, which I'll talk about later. But he also included a listener question. I really like this trend, guys. This is fun. I like reading mail. All right. Quote, you seem to like the idea of snail mail LQs, so here's another one for you. First off, I just want to thank you guys for how much work you put into the show. I spent 3 months unemployed and decided to listen to the years of backlog while I was doing all my applying. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry you decided to do that.
Oh, jeez.
Apparently, it made the whole process much more bearable. Quote, now on to my one question. The IDW Deluxes did exactly what Hasbro wanted, and now I am very interested in the comics. So I was wondering if you guys could give a rundown on which comics I should look into if I wanted to start getting current with them. Hopefully, it's sparking some interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy the toys. I did. By the way, snail mail listener questions, generally right now, I do not touch them until we're recording. So I actually hadn't read that question. And oddly enough, on Twitter today, I just told someone what Transformers books they should be reading if they want to just jump right in on what's current and what's good. So I have my personal list, but I'm curious about you guys first. Aaron, someone said, I want to read IDW comics of Transformers. What would you tell them?
So, current stuff?
Up to you.
If you're current stuff, if you're picking one more than meets the eye. If you're willing to dip back some, Last Stand of the Wreckers is great, and More Than Meets the Eye kind of follows that along, it seems like. Beyond that, Dark Cybertron is the new thing that they're leading into that is on its way up.
Starts next week, right?
Yeah, soon. I got the, I think it was RID, I think I saw, had Dark Cybertron crosses on it, cross sale on the top front of it, so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So basically, you, what? Whoa. I have an incoming
call. Hey.
That's weird.
Skype just popped up and went, nope, and then was like, why'd you do that? Sorry.
Anyway, pick it up from there.
Skype going, I like Regeneration 1. Click.
Oh, were you
Shut
talking...
your whore mouth.
Were you talking mess on Regeneration 1?
No, oh, okay. But I can.
Well, I was
Regeneration
gonna...
1 is... I think... So of the stuff that's out right now, it's More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise, Regeneration 1, and then the Prime series.
Beast Hunters.
Yeah.
Which I've heard from...
The Dinobot show.
I've
heard it's okay.
It's run a decent parallel right now. I don't know about it's Prime because they say it's Prime, but
I'm waiting a little bit. I'm waiting until it's done, then I'm gonna binge it. That's kind of been my approach right now.
That might be the way to do it.
Yeah.
But no, beyond that. I'd take a pass on Regeneration 1. Trying to bring back something from 20 years ago is a noble idea, but just let it go.
So your big, like, what seemed to be your main answer was go read More Than Meets the Eye and Last Stand of the Wreckers.
Yep.
Seemed to be the crux of it. Okay. Omegas, someone comes up to you, says, I want to read modern Transformer comics. What would you tell them?
Jeez. Honestly, I really can't add anything to that.
So you're...
I pretty much agree with the points. You know, Regeneration 1, God, you need to know so much of the old comic books in order to know what the hell's going on if you start from where they began. It's not quite as good as the others. Trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to finish, and then or at least have a few more trades come out, and I think I might binge on it because I've heard like for the 20 people who told me it sucks, I've heard one person say it's kind of okay, which is why that kind of ratio got me to read Autocracy, and I actually kind of dug Autocracy. So, I mean, everything I've seen in clips of Regeneration 1, knowing that and looking at previews of Regen 1, it does nothing for me, but. I want to I'll give it a chance sometime.
For me, the main series are really the best ones you can go with right now. You know, Robots in Disguise, and I put More Than Meets the Eye as the best one to get into. Especially, it seems like Dark Cybertron's going to be kind of a start over point if you just want to get started.
Maybe a good jumping on point altogether if they do it right. Hopefully it's not the, hey, we reset everything, womp womp.
Well, James Roberts has more or less been saying it absolutely is not a full reboot. Because he's been on Twitter kind of, I wouldn't say it's damage control, but he's been tweeting a lot saying, guys, don't worry, is basically what he's been saying.
The only ones I really don't get into are the spinoffs, like Monstrosities.
I was keeping up with Monstrosity for a bit. It gets super boring. I do want to come back to it because there's some good ideas in there. And Autocracy it paid off. Autocracy is by no means amazing. And Autocracy got me to fall in love with Livio Ramondelli's approach to Transformers art, which I defend to this day to the people who don't like it. But the actual scripting of it, it read a little sloppy. Flint Dilley was writing on it. I don't believe Flint Dilley had really written for comics before, and it feels like there's a bit of ricketiness in the assembly of the book, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Interesting read, yes, but you would never recommend it to someone who wanted to get into the comics.
No, absolutely not. That would be something you take a look at once you're already set in. My own answer to this question is very, like, when someone says, I want to catch up on the books, I assume they are ready to go in for the long haul in at least one or, if not two, ongoings, if they're really saying that. So this is literally what I say, quote for quote, go read Last Stand of the Wreckers, then go read The Death of Optimus Prime, then start reading the dual ongoings of More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. Just do that. And if you do it to the point where suddenly you've run out of comics to read, then it worked. And I would actually stress to people, if you're getting into IDW now, don't start going back, because everything before Death of Optimus Prime, the whole Chaos event, was a gigantic, confusing mess.
Mm-hmm.
And the pieces are still being picked up, but it is a big, confusing, everything that IDW did leading up to Chaos, that whole run, there's good stuff in there, but to try to just pull the meat bits out of that is so much more work than just diving in on... Death of Optimus Prime was a real good stage setter. Way better than I actually thought it was going to be. And if you read Last Stand of the Wreckers to get a taste for what you're going to read, Death of Optimus Prime to kind of know where the world's at, and then jump in onto More Than Meets the Eye, and then I would really recommend simultaneously reading Robots in Disguise... You kind of just get where Transformers are right now and why I really like the comics right now. I'm not saying Chaos was awful. It was just bewilderingly confusing. And I still don't entirely understand how it ended. And I've been rereading it, trying to get a better... I've read Wikipedia versions of what happened. And I still am kind of like...
Yeah.
I'm like, where the hell is Scourge? Why are... What the hell is it? I don't know.
When he broke the Matrix apart, something.
A lot of really good ideas, and then this huge hand wave, and then the status quo has changed. And I don't mind it so much, but that's something I could see. I could see someone trying to get in on the Chaos side of the coin toss, and deciding, well, if all the books are this confusing, I'm not even going to bother. And I wouldn't blame them if that happened. More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise saved the whole comic thing, in my opinion. If you're going to dive back for anything, dive back for the Ironhide miniseries. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm still
upset we haven't seen Thundercracker in a long time.
He's somewhere. He's okay. Yeah, he's somewhere.
The earlier IDW runs really made me fall in love with that guy as my, like, character-wise favorite Seeker.
Oh, he was fantastic.
If only because they actually did what his package art, like his package bio said he was supposed to do.
Yeah, there is good stuff in the pre-Death of Optimus Prime IDW. It's mixed so tightly with really confusing stuff. And that's when also when they had so many conjunctive miniseries going on, that's when you might just accidentally end up in Heart of Darkness and you go, who the hell drew this? And, you know, like... It's a dangerous place back there. It's, if you're new to Transformers books and if you're trying to get a friend into Transformers books, don't throw them in that deep end, because that is those are dangerous waters. Yeah. It's real easy to just land on a depth charge back there. And
yeah, if they were really into it, if they really liked what they saw, I'd say wiki it, poke through to see what you actually would like to see.
Well, just give them
pick what to go in more depth about.
Yeah, give them the modern new stuff to give them, let them realize if they are interested in this or not. Then leave it up to them to go digging in the back, because at least they'll know how good it is. So when they go digging in the back, they're doing so with the context of where the books are now. Because if you just get tossed into like Chaos or even Heart of Darkness or even like, I don't know, one of the many in between bits, like the post All Hail Megatron. It could be a real just souring experience for someone if they pick up the wrong book back there. I don't mean to play into the bandwagon. Last Stand of the Wreckers is, and More Than Meets the Eye to a degree, there are people who push those books too hard, and there are people who have read them who were expecting like Watchmen out of them, given how they were described in them.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing of being excited about something is then it eventually hits the signal to noise ratio of this is so awesome. And it's a problem that I have is
me too.
If somebody freaks their crap over how this is the best thing to ever happen ever in the world ever. And then you're just like, okay, whatever. It's cool. I'm happy for you. Calm down. You know, that's why I've not gotten excited about Walking Dead, and I've had so many people say that Walking Dead's a thing you need to watch, and I'm like, okay, I'm happy for you.
Well, I mean, that happened with Breaking Bad for a lot of people on my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Yeah. And that's why I've used the phrase before, it can damage someone's experience if you tell them too much that it's great. Because then they don't get to discover that themselves. They just go in expecting it to be perfect. And that can wreck it for some people. That's why I still haven't watched Attack on Titan, because there's still too many people were banging the war drums about it. And I was like, if I watch it right now, my whole experience is going to be colored by how many people are telling me it's the best thing on TV. And I've seen clips. It looks cool. Yeah. I haven't looked at any spoilers. I'm just going to wait for a little while until it's cooled off, and then I'll check it out. Same thing happened with this has happened with so many series: Gurren Lagann, Tiger and Bunny, Breaking Bad, More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah, it's kind of a brony effect, where you just get beaten in the head with it so much that it does the opposite. It just completely disinterests you.
Friendship is Magic. It happened with that, too. There are people who hate that show who've never watched it because there was just too much obnoxious jamming of it down throats. I've been guilty of doing this myself. Like, it's eventually you got to try to figure out, like, am I doing that thing? Am I wrecking it for someone? It becomes easier to recognize when it's actually happened to you on the other end, where you watch something that you got that was just I really hate this word, but it's true. It was overrated to you by everyone who told you to watch it. I guess that's our answer to the comic thing. The masses are generally correct. Like, More Than Meets the Eye is great. I would say Last Stand and Death of Optimus Prime give you all the grounding you need to know why anything is the way it is in that universe. At that period. Thank you for your snail mail listener question, the bearded stranger. We're going to take a quick intermission break and then come back with some what we got this week. It sounds like we all got stuff we really want to talk about. So, I'm excited. I got a Legends toy.
Intermission time. You guys earned this. You brought my horse in this race, in the Extra Life race. You brought it up. You brought it up over $200. In fact, you cleared up to $220, if I recall correctly. And because of that, I'm now recording for you an original intermission piece. This is an original fan fiction that I'm stealing and rewriting, and I hope you enjoyed. It's called It's Always Been You. A Transformers and Transformers crossover fanfic. A disclaimer, I do not own any characters from Transformers or Transformers mentioned in the making of the stories. Don't sue me. Pretty broke like 90% of the time, P. Summary. Starscream is pretty sure that the human that was irrevocably his and yet not, is still seeing his ex. The suspicion is straining their relationship before it even starts. Rodimus is not amused. After the Cybertron incident, this is chapter one, by the way. After the Cybertron incident, Starscream realizes he isn't the Alpha he thinks he is. That he doesn't know everything. He isn't infallible or perfect. Pushing everyone away won't solve everything, and once he accepted that, gradually, the group of misfits and nobodies becomes something like a pack. The presence of random Evans family members during pack meetings once or twice a week soon becomes habitual routine. Alpha Trion, with his gentle smile and understanding aura, balances out Smokescreen's homicidal tendencies, makes his uncle seem like the man he was before the fire, and while that makes something in the Alpha ache, he doesn't begrudge the union. Who's this? Alita 1, dreamy and usually seemed like she was in a different world, became grounded and her attention centered on Ironhide, always having an excuse to touch the ginger-haired male and be within close proximity. He was seeing the boy smile more often and open up. He was confident in a subtle way. I already used Smokescreen. Hardshell was a pillar of strength for Knockout. His refusal to rush anything also translated into their personal relationship, making Knockout slow down moderately, actually enjoy life, savor the good times, acknowledge the bad times, and move on. RC and Steamhammer were the sarcastic and brainy know-it-all couple. Their combined intellect had on more than one occasion saved the pack's lives, like they were brought even deeper into the world of Transformers. And then there is Rodimus, the leader, the general, the one who stood apart from his family. He was the alpha mate. Starscreams. But not they'd agreed to take it slow and get to know each other before entering into a relationship. However, every time Starscream asked Rodimus out or initiate intimate contact, that woman, Springer, would appear, stealing Rodimus's attention, making him laugh or smile exasperatedly. There was a closeness there that came from being more than friends, and though they were supposedly broken up, Starscream couldn't help but wonder. And then this part's in square brackets. You and I go hard at each other like we're at war. You and I go rough. We keep throwing things and slamming the door. Because that's the lyrics for the soundtrack.
Why can't you just believe me when I tell you there's nothing going on between... I forgot who this was. Spring and I...
Rodimus's viridian gaze flashed with annoyance as he stared at the older man.
Even if I had the inclination to cheat, which I don't, you'd be able to smell sex on me immediately.
Soundtrack.
You and I get so damn dysfunctional, we stop keeping score. You and I get sick, yeah, I know that we can't do this no more.
What song is that?
I'm not saying that, Derek...
That is, Starscream ignored the fact that he had meant what Rodimus implied.
I don't like that woman, Rodimus. I don't like her. You're the one who's oblivious to the fact that she's waiting for you. She wants you to take her back on an obsessive level. Crossing her once is fine, twice maybe coincidence, but for her to be wherever we are all the time? Ellipses?
He glanced... pointed at the shorter man. Square brackets.
Yeah, but baby, there you go again. There you go again, making me love you. Yeah, I stopped using my head, let it all go.
Rodimus also ignored the fact that he was right.
I'm not taking her back. Our relationship is over and done with. You're the one that I like.
With that outburst, he blushed a bit, but plowed on.
If you can't trust my word, trust your instincts! Your nose!
He insisted. Starscream reached out, tugging him forward, nose tracing the column of his pale neck. Rodimus held flush against him. He could feel the wizard...
He could feel the Autobot blush even harder, but didn't comment even as his eyes flashed red briefly. Normally, Rodimus's heart was calm, steady, but it was increasing in speed. Tilting his head up, he leaned down, sealing their lips together in a kiss. Page break. And it goes on to say, and that's the pilot chapter. If I get enough reviews, I'll make this into a full-length story as I plan. Sorry I went AWOL, family issues and real-life problems galore. I believe that's the only chapter of the story. So thank you all for listening to this intermission. Well, we're going to come back to our regularly scheduled podcast, and you know what, guys? You all earned it. And I'd like to thank Kryn for helping me figure out what to do for this intermission. It was her idea to replace words in a fanfiction of some kind, and I'm the one who decided to fill in the gaps of using... I searched for crossover and slash when I did my Google search, because that's where I'm told you find the best fanfictions. And hey, there you go. So what we got this week's coming up next, and be sure to tune in to... Andy Rue's Gaming Gang's live stream for the Extra Life charity that's happening on Saturday. And if you hear this before Friday's over, I'm doing a live stream Friday to build something all in the name of making sure that my horse in this race wins. Back to your regularly scheduled program. We're back. You guys hit the first goal. You're going to hear this episode before the live stream begins for Andy Rue's Gaming Gang. Am I getting that right?
Ooh. Yep.
Yay. All right. Now, if they get it up to 200, then they'll also you, the listener, will have also just heard an original intermission that I recorded. Now, I admit,
now,
I left a loophole.
Is that 200 before we end, or 200 before you get done editing?
Before we end.
No.
I gotta put the fires under their souls, man. I gotta light the candles on their shoes. Make them run. I admit, I didn't really specify anything other than record an original intermission. It leaves things open.
It might just be
going like, hi guys, all right. And then just come back to this. Who knows? Maybe I'll just use that clip of this. I'll copy and paste that few seconds of my audio track and put it in the intermission space. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. I am a complete monster. But I'm also someone who got something this week. And we're going to talk about what we got this week. Aaron Axsmith Jones, what did you get this week?
So I got a few things this week, actually. Going back on her, we'll talk about stuff that we've done in the past. So at TFCon, I picked myself up a Silas Breakdown and a Viacon General.
Oh, God, I have a Silas Breakdown in a box somewhere I haven't opened yet.
Yep. So put all the stickers and everything. Did not realize just how many stickers he had past everything else. He had like half of the sticker sheet. Any place that was the metallic of the sticker sheet that there wasn't sticker, they had some sort of like battle damage look on it.
Did you ever sticker the original breakdown?
Yeah, I did. He's right here. Unfortunately, the Silas one is downstairs, but no, I've got breakdown. A very dusty breakdown on my desk.
I didn't know you hated breakdown so much.
But no, so he still has the really awkward sticker over the foot.
Oh, I hate that sticker!
That makes the band over the foot, but he didn't have the big knee ones.
I hated those stickers more than the foot one, so that's okay.
Yeah. Because one of my like shin things has the big, has a gap in between it, and that was about the best I could do.
Yeah.
But no, it was the Micron is a praying mantis. That's a cool little mix of bladey shooter thing. Maybe they're all the Micron weapons, so it can be just about whatever you want. But yeah, I was more interested in the little tiny Silas that's on the inside and what that means, and then also the like four layers of paint for the head sculpt. Looked really, really good. If you have the option to get it and you don't have a breakdown already, I'd say the Silas one is a pretty good pickup.
He's actually pretty easy to find on Mandarake right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know, is Mandarak, something like that, would it end up being stickered or not?
Not stickered, the ones I saw. He's still in the box.
That's probably not too bad then.
Yeah.
So
he's also still at Big Bad, but they still have the Big Bad price on him for 65, which hurts. Mm-hmm. They still have those $20 Arms Micron Ultra Magnuses.
Really? 20?
Hmm. Yeah, $19.99. And I'm not doing it just because I want to make you spend money. It is legitimately, like, it felt really good. And, we had the conversation.
I'm lip biting right now. I'm trying to figure out if, is there anything I can legitimately order and be like, well, I'm already getting some of it.
They have this thing called Pile of Loot where you can just...
I know. Really? I just don't like paying for something and then not getting it. It's a psychological thing, I guess.
I've trained myself the other direction. I have a Masterpiece Streak and another thing just sitting in my HLJ warehouse.
See, I need one. I need one of the Datsuns.
God, I'm doing that too.
Well, I looked, right? Smokescreen's supposed to be out in December. That's within the 60-day window. So I can wait.
Wait. I literally...
Just getting itchy.
Yeah.
But, no, like that, then also the Viacon General is another one, if you can get for inexpensive.
You should get another one.
Well, no, he's the General.
No, he's a General. There are two.
He's the General.
There are two.
You only need one General.
I thought he was in an armada.
No! I'm already getting so many of the others. Jeez. No, so... Yeah. Also, up to now 6 Jet Viacons.
Have you talked about the Jet Viacon on the show?
Yeah, I did, because somebody came in and said I was dumb because it's a whole lot easier transformed than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm dumb.
I'm going to ask you about this later.
Yeah. But, I'm up to that. I actually have 7, but I gave one of them away for somebody that donated $25.
Did someone finally do that?
Yeah, well, no, see, what I actually had 2 or 3 people donated and then said, no, pass it on.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, you goody-two-shoes.
So at some point, it started to read more like people just stopped donating to you. And
I managed to pick up 2 or 3 donations. It was kind of feeling like that, though. But no, I managed to pick up 2 or 3 donations that were like, no, just pass it on. See if you can keep using it like that, so... So it did more than its job. But yeah, so I got those. Did manage to just today got the Megatron and Starscream Legends.
Legends, yeah.
But unfortunately I've not opened them yet. I'm so busy getting everything else done. It was like oh, it came in. All right, that's cool. It'll go in my box of stuff.
Famous philanthropist Aaron Smith's too busy for his toys. He's got phone calls from charity organizers to deal with.
Yeah, no, this was making sure that we'd have televisions enough and power enough. Because I think the circuit breaker will hold it.
Yeah. That'll be a great end to the live stream.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We're waiting for the local power company to show up.
Does this count as part of the 25 hours?
Yeah. So got that. Oh, picked up a Prowl. That's the Smokescreen repaint.
Oh, I have not seen him in stores yet, and I really want him.
I was very surprised when I saw it, because I had totally expected not to see it, because I'm pretty sure he's end of wave, right?
Yeah, he's in the dead wave.
Yeah. So I was surprised. It was definitely a double take when I saw it. And the one thing I'm kind of sad for is the box says removable armor.
They forgot to take that off?
The toy has no... the armor is that removable that they just removed it from the package.
It's so removable, you don't even need to worry about it.
But yeah, it didn't even have... It was so removed, it didn't even have a spot for it in the plastic.
They just kind of give up at that point in the series, don't they?
Yeah, they're like, we got to push it out because we set 8 waves, and this is...
It's end of wave. There's only, like, 8 stores that'll get it in anyway.
Yeah.
I am inches away from just putting a call out, asking people to tell me if they see one, but I still really want to find one.
Yeah. It's the smokescreen mold, and does a good job of having different paint schemes to keep it from being obviously the same mold.
Yeah, you know,
it does that trick pretty well.
I like that mold a lot. I know it's not a popular mold, but...
I'm sitting here transforming him back right now, and yeah, it's a good mold. I'd like to know what their idea for the removable armor was.
Yeah.
For this guy.
A hat. Police hat.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
He has more like a state trooper black and white color scheme, but he has like the sheriffs traditionally have the badge motif for their badge. And he has a Autobot star. But it's the, because this is the look from the MMO game, right? Is what his look is.
Kinda, yeah.
So it's the peek into the world of the MMO game and all of that.
Yeah, it's certainly still in development on the way.
I thought it was like out in China and just not anywhere else.
I don't even know anymore.
Oh, I don't know. Was surprised when I saw it, and so had to pick it up because, as always with these last lost waves, you often won't ever see it after, you know, 3 weeks, and then it'll just disappear. So if you see them and you're even near interested, pick it up because you may not have any other option.
And if you see him and you don't want him,
persnickety this wheel was.
Pick him up anyway.
Yeah, if you see him, don't want him. Pick him up anyway. Somebody will get him from you. Yeah, good new head sculpt that's kind of prowly. He's got a little bit more head.
He's got a stick, right? Like a policeman's stick, a baton.
No, what he has is like the guts of that web launcher without the plastic.
Oh!
Is what he has. So the launcher that Smokescreen has, I don't think Smokescreen's readily available to me anymore. It probably got bagged up as I cleaned. But remember how he had the long missile that had the awkward web thing on it?
Yeah.
It's that without the awkward web thing.
So it's not actually a baton. It literally is a missile that he's holding like a stick.
It's a missile that goes in a gun that he holds. Yeah, I guess you could put the missile in his hand. No, it just falls through to the end.
Why do I think he had a stick? I thought he had a stick at BotCon.
I don't know. He might have. I wasn't at BotCon.
Why weren't you at BotCon?
Because money and butt cancer dog, and I didn't want to give them money.
Acceptable.
So, yeah. Turn around here and look at what I've got on the bed. Oh, yeah. The construct bots.
Oh, which ones?
The hound that I talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then... one of the Thrilling 30.
Ooh.
What?
From my Twitter 2 days ago? 3 days ago? 4 days ago? Well, 4 days ago. Turns out,
what?
The Predaking is number 11 of 30 of the Thrilling 30.
I saw a wall of those at Target when I was visiting Crit on the weekend, almost bought it, and then it was like, this is $25 and there's no way this will not be cheaper sometime later, and left it alone. I didn't even know that
I think I saw it at Target and thought, oh, it was just a weird logo because it's the Predacon logo and it's multilingual, so I didn't think anything of it. And then as I was doing it, I'm like, wait, that's a Thrilling 30? What? No, why would you do that? So yes, if you're all in on the Thrilling 30, you get a Target exclusive construct bot.
It looks like one of the better ones. Like, it looks really good. I just
it is. Yeah. So from the Ironhide to the Hound is just a matter of Hound has things that plug in and around his wheels that kind of fluff him out a little bit. Because Ironhide, like, the rear wheels look spindly, and it's just, like, his elbow sitting there. The up
the upgrade is just... I mean, the parts are different. It's not like they try with having the same whole components, but it's just like he gets a big piece that goes around his shoulder. He has pieces that go on his rear wheels or the wheels that just hang off the arms on any of them that end up kind of connecting together with one of the guns in his back. He has a bigger chest and back piece that fill out his vehicle mode a bit more. And he has different feet that end up with more a cow catcher when it's connected instead of being a flat bumper. But stacking them one over the other, it's the same layout. It's the same transformation.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so it's more direct part swappable than I thought it was going to be initially.
Yeah, like the thing that interested me about them is that like there's very much like a core one or two transformations the vehicles tend to use.
Yeah.
And I really like how they're able to get different silhouettes out still.
And that's exactly it. I think probably what I need to do is pick up one of the jets if I want to do a real comparison.
Yeah.
But having those two side by side seems like, okay, this is just a way to pick it up. You know? The Predaking, I will give some serious props to.
I'm glad to hear that, because the BotCon pictures of all the Predacon Constructobots made them look like a legitimate upgrade to the Lion's ability to just do toys. Like, they looked really good.
So, it has the same initial frame. He ends up with more complexities when you add in the fact that his head, and the Dragon Mode head looks pretty cool. It's a long piece that ends up on a ratcheting piece so that when he transforms, it just kind of doubles back on itself, rests on his back. And that's a great transformation for that part. His head flips out of the chest the way that the other ones do, but it doesn't do the weird origami fold itself in half because it's an animal thing. It kind of like the arms, you move the claw pieces from his shoulders to the end of his hands and you bend his wrists over. So he's kind of walking on his, like on the top of his knuckles.
Yeah.
And then his legs stretch back. I wish that his knees had the ability to, I guess, hyper extend to bend forward. But because he has shin plates to fill in the big, like, three ladder piece, it can't bend there so much. So you get kind of the, like the German Shepherd dog, long, the way that those dogs kind of hold their legs back. So you can't quite get him to stand directly over his legs or have his hips over his legs, if that makes sense.
I think so.
And then he has like a three-part articulated tail. And his wings, you get four of the same piece, but they can, you take two of them and you plug them into two more. So you get wings that can kind of fold up or extend out pretty well. And then it actually has like a double connection. So it has one of the molded ball joint pieces and then one of the straight attachment pieces. So it has
I didn't do anything. I didn't do what anything.
What ghetto do you live in?
Look.
I know, every time.
Maybe I killed someone, but I didn't do anything.
So where I was going is you get kind of the Batwing effect, like you look at like the sketches of early attempts at flight, as much as they were with like the flapping wing effects, you get something kind of like that rather than just a ball joint. But it's easy enough to unclip it if you want to have it like pivot up and over and around. You get a legit back plate rather than just having it be open with just whatever tech stuff. It's cool. If you're kind of interested in the Kinectbot stuff, and you see him, it may not be a bad pickup, and it's something completely different from the rest of the line.
It runs $24.99, right?
Yeah.
That was the rough part. That was the rough part for me, where I was like,
It's similar parts count to the others, I think, but there are a lot larger parts.
Yeah, I think that if I had seen a built one in front of me so I could know the real girth of it, that might have changed my mind. I do want to pick it up. I just don't feel like I need to rush to pick it up.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the other Target exclusive things move terribly fast.
I have not seen them move at all.
So, yeah, I don't think that you're going to have an issue there.
Because I've also not seen Constructobots move
at all.
Which is a bummer because I think they're legit good toys when you buy one or two.
Yeah, and that's why I was surprised when I saw the Hound and Optimus Prime ones show up. Because those are the Wave 2 of the larger ones. And they then sold it was enough, like suddenly.
They sold enough Wave 1 to get to that box.
They sold enough Wave 1 to get to that next box. So, okay. But yeah, so that's the Constructobots. The other thing I was going to say of my whole mention of the... I've already forgotten the name. Brave Fighter of Sun Fibered was I was at a Gordman's randomly looking around because I'm still looking for Alfie, the big jazz collector she is, the three packs of the bot shots. There's one of them that has a clear jazz in it as the thing. And they're showing up at like Five Belows and those oddball places to find toys. And Gordman's is one of them. And so went in there and they had a bunch of knockoff stuff. And it was a bunch of Brave stuff. And then they had like the combiners. And so I picked up one of the Brave ones that looked like the best of the worst or the worst of the best. I'm not sure which way it was. It was a $6 buy-in. I thought, okay, for $6, I'll give it a swing. And I feel like there was money left on the table. Because they're like half scale, I think, of what they should be. You can see where they're... They took things and just scaled it down. So there's... I found a page translated from Japanese that had... I think it's the Grand Bird.
Yeah, Grand Bird was the second robot who could combine with Firebird, and they become Great Firebird.
Okay, well, these two don't really combine together. He kind of has like a space shuttle nose.
Yep.
Okay, that one. So, like, on the back, there is a crest of something that has one screw hole through it, and you can see where there's another screw hole, or was supposed to be one, but it's just filled in with plastic. And there's no way of getting anything to turn around to use that. The one faceplate that's there is molded and in the solid piece and unable to move. I just had one of the wings fall off in my hand. The hands just like unclip and flip around to be the guns.
I know what knockoff that is. That is potentially based on the STD version of the toys. Okay.
The chest plate, the rocket like the 2 6-pack missile launchers that sit beside the head. The plastic is permanently warped, so the tops of those missile launchers are touching the V crest piece. I know, I have the backboard right here. It is Tornado Number.
That's not the real name of that attack.
That's what he is. He's Tornado Number. And he has this like kind of Autobot sigil looking thing that's on the packaging that was the sticker on all of the Transformers based ones.
And that's how you're working this into being on topic.
Well, it's Brave-ish.
I would have called you on this, but I got distracted by something. Do you know what happened, Aaron?
What happened,
Chris? My horse in this game is at $220.
Good. Good. I'm glad that Stan hit his goal.
Oh, he's not just going to stop there. He's going to beat all of you.
Well, he's got a long way to go to beat
Defus. He's going
to
beat all of you.
But... also came with the, I think it's
the other one, the one that has the like big cannons that go over the shoulder on the total combined form.
That's Thunder Baron.
Thunder Baron, where he has like two smaller like flames and some sort of like pinwheel crest thing.
I believe so. He turns into a big tank type thing.
No, he turns into another jet.
Oh. That might just be... Oh, you know what? Firebird has a big helmet he puts on that gives him guns over his shoulders.
Yeah, it's... This is the page I'm looking at, and I have the...
Oh, man.
Halfway down, there's a picture of two dudes.
Blue and white?
Yeah, blue one and a white one.
And they have the big crests with the missile launchers on their heads?
Yep.
Those are the same toys as the ones below them. The crests are like these self-contained attack jets that attach yeah. onto their heads.
Yeah. So this those remove on these. Those do come off, but then the robot underneath it is so horrible because they just went, oh, they'll just do this anyway. Like this one, the blue guy, where he has guns for hands and he doesn't have like hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'll laugh and say instructions on the back of the card show flipping out hands. So it's like they took some copy and then ripped anything out that they can. This one's even worse in showing like where they didn't compensate for plastic cooling. One of them straight up just has a crack where you can see that it sunk in where plastic cooled. Huge flash. It's missing one of the kneecap things. I guess it actually does say fibered on the side of that. I thought that was, I must have saw that before and just thought that was total English, but no, that's the line.
No, he's
but,
the brave of the sun, fibered.
But, so then it's even to the point on that one where he has pegs on the jet thing that clips over that's supposed to go into the chest to hold everything together, where you can see on the inner robot one where there's a little spot where they filled it in. So it can't actually peg. So in order to get this thing to go flush, I'm going to have to like nip this plastic piece that just otherwise is going into this completely filled and painted over plastic hole. Quality knockoff.
I disagree. That sounds real bad.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible.
I can't
it's
recognize terrible. Sarcasm.
They both transform, but I'm already seeing in my transformation once one way, I'm already seeing like horrible plastic stressings and things just outright failing. I'm afraid of what'll happen when I go to change it the other way. It'll just dissolve.
You should just for your live stream say if someone donates $10 right now, I will take this toy and just squeeze it in my hand.
Just yeah, I think it would take a moderate squeezing in the hand, and there's enough. Bad flash and sharp edges that I may end up cutting myself if I just do that.
It's for the kids.
Where it would just fight back.
It's for the sick children. It's worth it.
Okay.
You need to dig up a gauntlet.
Maybe.
That's cheating.
Crush it in your metal hand.
That might go far. But no, these are horrible. If you've got $6 to throw
to
away
waste,
for an experience.
To set on fire?
Yeah, it's an interesting experience.
You could be a badass who lights money on fire and then eats it.
That might be a better expenditure.
Yeah.
Eating burning money.
On camera, you'd make millions on YouTube.
Millions of half yen or something.
Millions, baby.
But no, it. For the podcast, for interest, it was pretty good.
Oh no!
I refuse
to have had a hand in this.
I got it because I thought it was going to be something neat.
I have the real Great Firebird. Now that's a neat toy.
Yeah, I bet it is. For seeing these, I can see. Well, see, that's the thing is, I thought they definitely look interesting.
Yeah.
Because they also had like a gold. Looked like kind of like a Godzilla.
That's Goldran. That's a different Goldran. Series.
Okay.
So Firebird is the main character of his own series. Goldran was the main character of another Brave series some years later.
Okay. They look very interesting, and I bet the full-size toys are pretty neat.
They also had, it was a Vehicle Voltron knockoff where it was like 11 vehicles that all combined into one robot.
There's a super fancy, like 90% diecast Vehicle Voltron that just came out a little while ago. I still haven't watched the review, but that thing was in development for a while.
Okay. No, but this was...
This wasn't.
This was another one of those $5 guys that I thought it would be neat to buy for just as quickly as this thing will dissolve. It would be neat to get to see, like, what's the concept of a vehicle-y Voltron?
Just crush it for charity money. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, maybe. But no, beyond that, I think that's it for my what we'll call on top. No, yeah, for on topic stuff. Yes.
All right, Omega's Prime. I want to ask you a question about what Transformer branded toys you might have gotten.
Okay, go ahead and ask.
Did you get any of them?
Yes. Yes,
excellent.
I did.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week.
Easter egg section. I did, but one off topic. But it's the only off or on topic. It's the only on topic I need because I finally have a Metroplex.
Welcome.
More than that, I have the Takara Metroplex.
First question: does he say anything in Japanese?
All English.
That's weird. That's real weird.
I know.
Okay.
I know it's this big, expensive toy. I didn't expect them to reuse the sound chip.
That's weird. Because there... I think there are parts of the Takara Tomy one cast in different plastic colors than on the American
there
one.
There are.
So that's not...
There are, especially in the legs. They're a lot more white than dark gray or black.
That's weird. Well, that answers a question I've had for a while. So, like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do like how the sound effects kind of have this little narrative that follow them. Like, there is a pattern to them, which is kind of cool.
I got to ask you, are you as frustrated about the big crippling part of the posable eyeballs as I am? Like the part where they just kind of blink for a few seconds?
Yeah, the flashing, That would be such a neat gimmick if the eyes stayed lit up.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the kit. I know.
That just seemed like just such a dumb thing. It's like, because they sacrificed other, like, I remember the reports. They sacrificed other little gimmicks to get that eye in there.
Oh, at least specifically, it was he would either have posable eyes or there'd be little sculpted, like, Autobots inside his cockpit.
Right.
And the trade-off works for me because the less things that try to imply a scale for that toy, the better for me, because then I can just make him be whatever scale I want.
Yeah, well, one thing that did bug me because, you know, odds are, with this toy, I'm going to litter him with the littlest toys I have. Like, I'm a world's smallest collector. I can load this guy out with, like, near-scale Autobots.
Yeah.
I don't want redundancies in my little scene.
Or if he had little crew members in there, it would mean, oh, hey, Autobots are supposed to be even smaller than your world's smallest.
Yeah.
So differences aside, because this is your first experience with the toy, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you think of Metroplex after all the build-up and all the chit-chat?
Well, I know some people go, well, he doesn't transform all that much. He's, you know, the city mode is just kind of him sprawled out. And I'm like, I've got the G1 Metroplex. That's exactly what he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, heck, that's Fort Max's.
Yeah.
Fort Max has extra knee joints because he's newer. That's his whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, Fortress Maximus, I mean, that's the one that looks like a big city. If you want a city, you know, go get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want a big giant base that looks like a giant robot just kind of chilling out, I'm going to go get the Metroplex. And at least, you know what? This one is far more articulate than I would have assumed the toy this big to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. I can remember the build-up going, oh, please, just have outward shoulders. Yeah, I'm so sick of the big toys cheaping out on that.
That
alone just made me so happy.
The thigh swivels on that toy, I think, are its golden joint. Because they mean that you get life to his legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice surprise. I really liked having those. I could have done with a few more spots in the ratchets and the hips. Because that's a little weird how you get one click over to kind of pull his legs apart more naturally and then wide apart. Which is a little frustrating if you actually want to get a pose. And I wanted like one extra swivel to the leg. Because my favorite configuration for the G1 Metroplex is to have both of those ramps straight out.
Yeah.
And still kind of open apart. And this one's just like one swivel below the knee from being able to accomplish that.
There are some copious mods being worked on. I mean, aside from the Army of Six Guns coming out.
Oh my god.
Mega Moon Man has a 3D printer and he's designed some interesting mods for the legs that add a sideways knee joint. I haven't bought any of them yet, but I'm planning to dip in because he made those and he made new hands that can transform into city parts to blend in better. Hmm. It's interesting stuff. It's like $30 for the new knees and the ramp and then like $30 for the new hands. I don't know. It's cool ideas.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because he's an enormous toy, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a giant robot, it's a giant city, and it's this rolling aircraft carrier, I guess.
Sort of battle station.
Best, which really bugged the hell out of me because I swear to God, so much of this should have been painted. Like, I know he's got... I know the sticker layout's different.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's different stickers on both versions. But, you know, you look at the sticker sheet and you go, well, there's only, like, 74 stickers. That's the highest number. And then you look at sticker number 32, and it comes in 24 parts. Like, I swear to God, all it is like... And all it is are, like, the little gold arrows on the landing strips.
Well, now... Bear all this in mind, there's also a 3-sheet Repro label set done for him now.
Oh my god, this thing's just a field day, isn't it?
With a $10 add-on sheet if you have the Japanese one with the extra gun.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to hear anyone give a crap about how expensive the import version is. If you got all those extra components, extra stickers, extra knee joints, extra guns... It's just overkill.
I kind of want a second Metroplex to just fully third party up. I'm thinking of seeing if I can just get a Costco one or something. Or a Walmart $60 Black Friday special. And just make him the Repro Label Mega Moon Man version who has like 8-6 guns attached to him. Like,
I do dig the having both guns, though.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually kind of a highlight to me. I didn't realize the guns were so big that the U.S. ones actually require the orange cap.
Yeah.
Which is hysterical.
And I was going to ask with the Takara ones, I admit I could have just figured this out myself, but I never thought of it till just now. There's a mounting point for one gun on one shoulder. Is there a mounting point for the other gun on the other side of his shoulder or something? Or is there an official place for the second gun to go?
I don't believe so, because on that shoulder there is a double gun already molded in.
Just stick it somewhere.
Yeah. Honestly, now that I think about it, I don't know if I've checked. This is the first time since he came in that he has not been close enough for me to check on the spot, so...
Yeah.
I will assume not. I have not seen any photos of it mounted that way.
I've never seen anything indicating it. I would be aghast if there was actually new molding on that version. So I just assumed that it's like there are pegs I've found where you can just sort of stick the gun.
Oh yeah, he's got plenty of ports and everything on him.
Yeah. So overall, like, does he work for you as the new world's biggest transformer?
It's kind of weird living in a world where that is not Fortress Maximus.
Yes, now it's properly Metroplex.
Yeah. So wait, you can get all G1-y over Pokemon, but Metroplex. It's not even the right Metroplex. This is some fake-ass Metroplex.
I'm sorry. Are you implying to me that anything is as important as maintaining the purity of the 150?
There could be things that are as important.
No.
I
I'm biting my thumb right now. There's actually blood coming out of my thumb. I'm biting it so hard.
Good. Maybe that'll be your unique intermission piece.
Yeah, it's just the nearly silent sound of me chewing on my finger until blood comes out. And it's a little, there's more chewing.
First aid procedures for a bitten through thumb. First, bucket of ice for thumb part.
This is second, quiet, meaty dripping. Tourniquet. Blood just starts slapping the floor. I like this idea. So, I'm glad that you got your hands on a Metroplex. You can have an opinion on him. I think everyone should at least see one in person, because it is, you're a Transformers fan, and it's now the biggest Transformer. So
there is something daunting about him compared to the Fortress Maximus.
Yeah, because this one can move. Like, this one looks like it can kill you.
I don't mean that. I don't just mean that it's like really big, but it's designed to look big. Whereas Fortress Maximus is just a robot who happens to be big. Like, he's got this huge wide chest. He's got these high shoulders. You know, he's actually designed to invoke how big he is.
I love the way that when you, like, especially if you plug the guns on him, those shoulder bits on the insides of his shoulders can just piston up and down.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like machinery at work.
It's like, you know, that'll become the new official transformation. Like, hey, we got one that's a little bit bigger. Nope. Raise up.
Yeah, cha-ching.
A little bit bigger again. I do wish his ramp was longer. That's the one part that bugs me the most.
Who doesn't wish? You know what that's called? That's called low-hanging fruit. Am I right? Because it was an easy joke.
Sure. Let's go with that.
As I understand it, Mega Moon Man's new ramp is not only longer, but you can just buy extra sections to make it as long as you want. Someone made one that was like just, it was longer than his base mode. Because why not? Cool. I think that Metroplex is pretty much everyone currently on the... Oh no, Seth still has, we gotta make Seth buy one now.
I've got one coming.
I counted you among those already tainted.
Okay.
But we got the Hasbro, we got the Takara one. Now someone needs like the Hong Kong exclusive with all the little guys and all the extra chrome.
And then the SDCC exclusive with all the other colored little guys. I've already seen the shot. I'm sure you guys have seen the shot of the three Metroplexes in the bathroom.
Yes.
That's a great picture. One's holding the toilet paper for the person. One's, like, just chilling out by the plunger. I still need to see my Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan pose with three Metroplexes. Anyway. Excellent. So your on topic was a Metroplexing.
Basically, yes.
All right, my on-topic was an air viaconing. Thanks to the bearded stranger, he muled me an air viacon. It took me about 5 seconds to transform it. Aaron, what the hell?
I didn't say it took like hours. It was just
you fold.
It seemed like it was more.
You flip the roof and then you pull the limbs.
Well, I must be a total moron then.
You mentioned something about the wing parts getting in the way, right?
Yeah.
That sounds to me like you were trying to do everything except flip the roof before flipping the roof.
Yeah, I think I was out of sequence. I very well could be dumb.
I could see that getting in the way, what with the roof being the thing that holds all of the limbs in place.
Yep. I'm dumb. It happens. It's a thing.
No. The Viacons were just deceiving you. You got to be the alpha about this. It's their fault. It's the toy's fault.
It's the toy's fault for not being just purely toyetic and just natural.
I really wish you could fold the head away.
Yeah, I wish you could fold the head away, and I wish it had knees.
That too. I think that the hinged wings is a waste of parts count.
Yeah.
I don't
because they stay in that shape.
I mean, you can fold them up if you want. If you're insane and you don't want wings on your jet viacon, you can fold them up. I think that option's a waste of time. I think it's wasted parts count. The backpack should have just been one piece, and there should have been knees. I still like the toy. I love how thin it is in alt mode. I love how they captured the I'm a flying bat car look of the alt mode. It's great. I got to get at least two more. I like it a lot. Now, something I got near Comic-Con, I think I forgot to talk about because it was in a a margarine container. Which was something that camouflaged into a pile of stuff next to my bed. I got some when I was at New York Comic Con. I for about 20 minutes met up with a bunch of Shapeways and Customizer folks. One of them was Wulong T, listener to the podcast, who does papercraft stuff and Shapeways stuff, and he gifted to me one of each. I got this. I think that we've talked about them before. His papercraft Viacons. I'm going to try to find a picture of them. Basically, he had a papercrafted Viacon, which looks friggin' cool. And these are totally some pictures of them. So it's pretty sturdy. It survived the trip home, thank goodness. I was terrified of breaking the papercraft. And the margarine container was dented when I opened my suitcase, which made me blink. But it's a really cool papercraft Viacon, and there's a little tiny Minecraft-looking papercraft jack that goes with it. Which is kind of cool. Yeah. And then he also gave me a little set of... I haven't tried them out yet because my Creo is all still buried from the move. But with Wulong, under the name Wulong Toys, has been doing some really cool stuff on Shapeways. One of those things are add-on parts for Creons. So he has all these add-on bits to make the Creo-Creon combiners look a bit better. So he passed me a little bag of parts for Creon Devastator. And they look really cool. He colored them in with like a felt tip marker, because Shapeways plastic is really porous and it likes to be colored by anything. And like there's posable hands, there's like a cement mixer piece, a proper dump truck bucket, and they all just kind of slap onto the Devastator build. So I haven't given him a try yet, but he has a lot of pictures up on his Shapeways and on his Facebook page with Wulong Toys. He's, I believe, Wulong T on Twitter. The high fives. I felt really bad that I could only hang out for like 20 minutes because it was like after the con ended for the day, but right before we all were going for dinner, and he had already gone for dinner. So I was like, "You're at a bar. It's a block from the hotel. I will just go by the bar on my way back to the hotel." So I just like burst in and I sat down, refused service from the wait staff like three times, just chatted a bunch, then got up and ran out. It was fun. And those are also all of my on-topic what I gots, which means that it's time for the off-topic section of what we got this week, and I'm gonna open it up. Me! Okay. The other things I got from the Bearded Stranger were he found two packs of Mousers, and I had one pack of Mousers, so I wanted two more, so now I have 21 Mousers. I saw more packs of Mousers when I was visiting Corinne on the weekend. Super hard to just keep putting them back on the shelf and not buy them, because the value proposition of the Mouser 7 pack is intense. It's really good. I give it a huge thumbs up. The fact that you get 7 and in different colors and with some pretty intricate paint tampo, especially on the insides of the mouths. I'm impressed. He also threw in a couple of extras he told me about. He said that one of them was a figure he was replacing because it was missing a piece. I don't really know what piece is missing because I don't know the toy that well. There are two things in there. One of them was a little figurine of the Gundam design, the GM, like the red dude with the goggle head. It's him crawling. I don't really understand. And then there's also a Ziploc bag containing an apparently incomplete SH Figuarts Domon Cashew, who I never had handled until now. And he feels hella old. Feels like old toys.
He's a special one.
I like him. He's weird. His body never looks comfortable. It looks like it's permanently tense. I do not know what parts are missing. He has a lot of hands. Some are green, some are...
Yeah, there's a bunch of green hands. There should be one with the King of Hearts emblem on it. Did you get the ring? The stand?
He doesn't have the stand.
Okay, he doesn't have the stand. Did you get the energy sword?
No. I have two extra faces, a bunch of normal hands, two green hands, and an orange hand.
Yeah. Hmm. He's got a bunch of energy parts, including this, like, big green energy harness to replicate some of the damage and poses he did.
I know nothing about G-Gundam. It was kind of cool, because, like, you know, this is, he threw it in as a freebie, and it's neat to see this somewhat, like, this was one of the first non-Rider SH Figure Arts toys, if not the first, right?
I believe it was the first.
It's cool. It's okay. It's a piece of toy history.
Yeah, let me ask, did you get the screaming face?
Oh, yeah, that was actually the face that was installed when he showed up. He's just sitting in this, he's in a Ziploc bag going, ah!
The face is hysterical because if you look at it from the side, that's actually how it looks in the show, and it looks really good. And the second you put any kind of angle on it, it looks horrifying.
It also looks really funny if you put him into really mundane poses and put the screaming face on him. So thank you to the Bearded Stranger for the kindness of throwing in some extras, for that stuff that I bought, through ya. High fives. Speaking of Ninja Turtle toys, when I was, down under, in the upstate, I found some new Ninja Turtle toys. I bought three of them. I bought the Cockroach Terminator. Yes. Installing his antenna was a nightmare.
Yes.
I took him home. I shaved pieces off, I hair-dryered them, and I shoved them in with a stick.
Okay, the ones that I did weren't nearly that bad.
They did not want to go in. Did not want to go in. I had to look at pictures online to see if it even was supposed to go in to be flush with his head. Because mine were, well, they'd go in and kind of stick, but they'd be sticking out on the post. I like him. He's cool. I like the... It's kind of goofy, but I kind of like the saw blade gimmick of how it's supposed to be coming out of his body.
Right. And he's just... it's like a missile thing.
Well, no, as I understand it, it's supposed to be, like, something that extends out of his body.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to, like, use the protrusion out of his back to push it forward and wiggle it around as though it's operating on its own.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Only bummer with him is he's got decently poseable arms, but his wrists, I wish, had a swivel. And I don't like the sculpted position of his legs. They're on universal hips, but they're also, like, splayed out and pointed sideways, and it looks really weird. But I like I like the size. I really like the sculpt and the design. It's cool. I also got Shredder 2 with the removable helmet and the poseable knees. I don't like him.
Really? I thought I'd heard everybody give glowing, giddy reviews on him.
So, he lost his elbows, right?
Okay.
The sculpt looks good. The cape is great. The helmet has a lot of trouble staying on his head because it keeps getting pushed up off his head by the cape pieces that are around his neck.
Okay.
And that's kind of annoying. His hips are sculpted in a, like, extremely wide. They're on universal joints, but the legs are sculpted with an inward bend, so it just looks like he's kind of permanently just, it looks like he pooped himself and he's walking around still.
Okay.
And here's a big disappointment. His knees... His left leg has a good knee joint. It's kind of okay. His right leg... You know that Nika Gypsy Danger toy?
Uh-huh.
You know how its elbow has a tiny, kind of useless range of bending?
Uh-huh.
That's kind of his right knee. And his feet... You know how the original Shredder had feet that were sculpted with a tilted ankle in a very specific pose?
Uh-huh.
His feet are still like that, and they're still huge. So, even though he has universal hips and knee joints, they're kind of useless. Unless you're holding him. And even if you're holding him, only one of his knee joints even really does anything. I was expecting a whole lot more out of this guy, and I'm legit disappointed with him. It's not bad, it's just an enormously wasted potential. I thought this was going to be a chance to do one more big budget figure, like the Ninja Turtle Brothers. And right. Put that into Shredder. It wasn't. And it feels like everything they tried to do came off a little half-cocked. It feels like they were modding the original Shredder toys buck rather than just designing new legs.
Okay.
So
does it seem like you could maybe Frankenstein yourself?
I have no idea.
A good Shredder?
I have no idea. Everything's attached with pin discs, and I don't really want to take the risk on ripping them apart yet.
Why not?
Because I don't want to damage my toy.
If you say he's not as good, and the other one's not good, then what do you got? You're out two not good toys, or you could have one awesome toy.
Well, he'll still have a really lousy knee. Because these are the good legs. This one has the good legs. But the good legs aren't super good. I don't know. But this is all saved because I also... The third toy I got was Spider Bites. You know what toy is friggin' awesome? Spider Bites.
Okay, hadn't seen him yet.
Okay, so I'll open up with the obvious. He's pretty much... He has universal jointed shoulders.
Okay.
Other than that, his entire body is in a fixed pose sculpt, and it's one piece, pretty much. But the four huge legs that plug into his head,
mm-hmm.
each are on a very decently ranged ball joint socket at the base, and have a hinge in the middle. And that's, like, all four of them. So between the universal shoulders to give him a little bit of motivation, and then these, like, four ball-jointed with a hinge in the middle spider legs, which are decently sized, he's, for an $8, ostensibly, toy, I really like him. I feel like they looked at this design, they were like, how do we fit this into our price point of sub-$10? And they did a fantastic job of doing so. I don't feel like any potential was wasted, I don't feel like there are huge mistakes with him. He's not the most posable toy in the world, but he's super characterful, and he looks awesome, and the posable spider legs in his head give such a surprising amount of emotional range to how you have him standing on your desk. And by not having posable legs, his very weird, stumpy design actually stands super solid. Given that this is attempting to be a sub-$10 toy, I'm okay with his legs being fixed pose, given how well the spider legs on his head were done. I really like Spider Bites. Now, how do I say this right after trashing all over Shredder for not having good knee joints? Because his knee joints are there, and one of them are useless. So, no. That's the difference. It's not... I don't feel like anything was wasted on Spider Bites. I think he's a real fun little bang for your buck. Not the best figure in the line by far, but of all the new ones, he's the one I like the most. So, that's my TMNT-ing. Last bit off topic I'm going to mention is some more Tenkan Knights. So, I realized that there are 6 singles out right now, not 4, and that 4 of the 6 singles are all the hero ones. And so yeah. You know how the singles have those, like, that very specific build you're going towards when you buy them?
Right.
So now I have all 4 hero singles, so I was able to build the Prodo Jet with a D. I'm trying to find a picture for you guys for reference's sake. I think I got to send you to the product page. It's the only picture I can find right now. So the Prodo Jet is the and I think I talked about this before. So the 3-pack Tenkai Knights, they just come with a whole bunch of extra bits to customize the minifigures. The mm-hmm. single pack ones come with these very specific pieces that don't really work with the single figures that well because mm-hmm. they're meant to build these ships. So the Prodo Jet, basically, between the 4 figures, you get a bunch of red parts that form the wings of the Prodo Jet, which are on a hinge joint. And they're on one half of the hinge joint. The other half of the hinge joint can connect to the wings, but it actually folds down so you can connect some of the weapons to it and have those on their own joint. The core of the Prodo Jet are 4 minifigures folded up into 2x4 configuration, plugged together with all of their shields and weaponry attached, and then the wings added to the sides. Surprisingly sizable, because it is like 16, it's about 10 to 12 studs long. It's a very solid build, and it doesn't the official build leaves out a couple pieces that you can very easily attach to it to enhance it some more, and literally all that's left behind are 4 helmets, and in this you have this really big blue, white, and red jet. And I kind of like how it looks. If you're just going to try out Tenkai Knights, I still would say the 3-packs are way better value for your money. But I the size of the Prodo Jet build gives some real credence to some of the build possibilities with these. I'm hoping that the 2 other villain singles come out soon, Ro and Sho, because the Xeno ship build looks way more interesting as... That build, when you attach the wings, you actually unfold 2 of the minifigure legs from the 2x4 configuration to have just these ball-jointed attachment parts that the wings hook onto.
Okay.
Which shows, to me, some more of the really cool build potential with these things. But I like the Prodo Jet. It means I have some doubles now, except it doesn't, because you can just leave them in Prodo Jet mode. And,
right.
You know, there you go.
Then they're just 2x4 blocks.
Yeah, they're a jet. The jet has handles on it, so you can have, and it's covered in studs, so you can have figures ride on it, I guess, or whatever.
So is the, it, I know how much Tenkai Nights you've watched and how much I'm going to say that I watched. Does the proto jet or the bad guy jet thing show up in anything?
Yeah, they're both in the show. And some people, okay. I got a reply, someone saying, how do you feel about how in the show it's the blue guy, the white guy, the yellow guy, and the green guy, whereas the single figures, it's two white guys and two blue guys so that the color scheme is all matched up. And basically, I watched a clip of how this works in the show. In the show, the yellow guy and the green guy, after they turn into bricks, their color strips off to change to white and blue. So in the show, it just straight up cheats and uses magic. So it's fine. In the show, this is the big team attack where the four heroes turn into a jet and then just fly into stuff because there's a sword on the end. And then the bad guy grabs three of his minions and turns into the Xeno ship and I think just does the same thing.
Just kind of fly at each other until somebody gives up.
Yeah, they're both covered in spikes, so they just kind of bang into each other. The proto jet has a crossbow on the top, so I guess it can shoot too. But other, like, the side-mounted things are just swords, so it's just like it's a melee jet, which is kind of cool. And because the wings are on hinges, like, they can flap up and down, the little translucent blue and red side weapons are on their own hinge joints, so they can move independently. They're attached to a shield that plugs on there. If you want, there's video instructions so you can see how the thing goes together in CAD form. This is cool. I like Tenkai Nights. I'm really won over by these toys. I also got the Blast Tank / Warhorse. But I haven't built it yet because I'm saving that for my pre-Extra Life live stream on Friday.
Okay.
But I did open up two things in it to see how they work. So first I took out the Hero minifigure because it's one of the good guys. If you'll notice, some of the good guys, Laynad and Kutor, just have these like Boba Fett helmets. Which is like, you know, with the Mandalorian visor in the front.
Right.
So Laynad's white with red bits in single pack form. In the Blast Tank, you get another Laynad. I almost want to say that Laynad is more of a rank than a character. I'm not actually sure because I haven't watched enough of the show, but it's coming off that way because you get a Laynad with the Blast Tank who's completely red with white accents. And instead of coming with like a lance and a shield, he just comes with two giant blue shotguns that are taller than he is.
Nice.
And he's supposed to hold them, but here's the crazy thing. So, and this is the same helmet piece that Laynad and Kutor have in single pack. That Mandalorian helmet has two divots, like one on either side. It looks cosmetic. It's like a little circular divot inside the helmet. On a complete whim, I tried sticking one of the handles of, because the guns use the handle that can fit inside the stud. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like, yes.
They fit inside the stud hole. The cosmetic divots on the sides of the Mandalorian, like the Laynad Kutor helmet, have enough friction and just enough depth to grip that size peg.
Okay.
So you can attach any peg to the sides of this helmet. This means the helmet has an outer mounting point.
Okay.
So aside from just the goofy thing of you can basically plug a gun on either side of this guy's head and make him look really silly, it means the helmets can potentially have more than just the inner peg mounting point in terms of builds. And that got me super pumped because there's no way this was accidental. And it's not shown in any instructions. It's really subtle. It's easy to look at this helmet and not even see it. And when I tried sticking them in and they gripped perfectly, I was like, I stood up. I was like, this is like Matt Doughty tier levels of planning, putting like hidden stud holes on the outsides of your minifigure helmets. I got super excited. There's another minifigure in the Blast Tank Warhorse set, which is like an evil Braven Wolf guy. I haven't opened him up yet because who cares? He doesn't have guns. But I pulled out the block that forms the core of the horse or tank, and it's friggin' cool, man. Because it's like a big block like the Titan blocks.
Okay.
But it can basically, if you unfold everything, it is a horse. It is like a posable horse. It has a posable neck joint, has a tail, the legs have multiple ball joints in them. The tank build is just like you leave the legs folded up and in different orientations, so it's more like just a vehicle core. But the fold-out legs have a lot of parts, and there's four of those legs, and they're on really solid ball joints. The build potential off that brick makes me kind of thinking about stuff. I find it a way more exciting Titan brick than the humanoid Titan. I think just because it's a bit bigger and the quadruped nature of it makes it a bit more interesting to me. Because you could make it a biped, I think, if you wanted to. Pretty exciting. I'm going to be pulling all the parts out, stickering them, and making both builds when I do the live stream. And I got good feelings about it. So, Tenkai Knight's a pretty kick-ass.
Can I roll off of yours a little bit?
Because
I picked up a 3-pack.
Yeah.
I picked up the Heroes 3-pack, not the Villains one that later in listening to the podcast, like, oh, yeah, that was the one that he recommended.
Yeah.
So it's the same Braven Wolf and I already forget their names.
The white guy and the green guy.
The two, well, no, it has the Heroes one is two white brick, white 2x4 bricks.
Yeah.
So there's the one that's the Braven Wolf that's the, like, the mini version of the bigger one that I got. And then there's one that has, like, a red and gray, almost looks like he's a generic soldier because
So there are 2 3-packs with Braven Wolf.
Oh, okay.
That's the one I didn't get. That guy has the Mandalorian helmet. His helmet should have the working peg holes on the sides.
Oh, yeah. By gosh, it does.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So that one, he comes with two big, like, they have handles like they're supposed to be guns, but it's like a sawtooth machete on one side and a weird big double stick thing on the other.
Yeah.
So I kind of have it as, like, he's holding a gun sideways and then one of them shoulder mounted like a Predator style. And then it also comes with the bull thing.
Yeah, there's 4 3-packs. 2 of them come with Braven Wolf and 2 of them come with Vilius.
Yeah.
And then the other 2 you get are different. And also the extra parts you get for that Braven Wolf are different than the extra parts I got for the other Braven Wolf.
Yeah, because in total I ended up making like a glider drone thing with all of the extra parts combined.
Yeah.
Just doing the basic builds on the guys. Because, I mean, some of the things, like there's a 2x3 inverted slope that I don't know what you would do on a guy with that.
Oh, I forgot to mention, actually, Haas, that quadruped I got. I got him in single as well. I don't like him very much.
Yeah, the quadruped brick isn't very great because I think the biggest thing is just when you see the clear through. I mean, it's conceptually, it's very neat.
Yeah.
The execution doesn't come off well because this is like, you got this big honking rifle thing. Plug it in his butt. Now it shoots over his head.
Oh, that giant rifle? That's what the one that comes with the blast tank is just carrying 2 of those.
Okay.
Haas is also, the lack of ball joints on his legs really kills.
Yeah.
Really kills it on him. The dragon is way more interesting as far as inhuman mini bricks go.
So it just becomes, he ends up being like a table.
Yeah.
That has a head and a big honking gun off of his back. It's really neat that the head and the big honking gun are on ball joints that have a huge amount of motion on them.
And they're what I like is they're from the center 4 pegs, not the outer. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're, like I said, there are neat concepts within it, but the way that it all comes together just seems, it's got a big hollow spot in the middle of it, and it just stands there like a table. It's one of those things that you see it on the box, and you're like, hey, that looks kind of neat. And then you look at it, and you're like, man, so close. So far. But that, and it seems like the boxes that the stuff comes in is huge.
They're so big.
For what's actually in it. I reasoned that the 3 little packages that it came in could have been in a box about a quarter of the size of the final packaging.
It's because they're using the same size box for the 3 packs as for the Titans, I think. Like
it's a different size box.
Is it?
It's the same shape, but it's slightly smaller.
Yeah, it's so weird because
each of the boxes step up a size.
The Blast Tank Warhorse box is packed. Like, it is packed with parts. And that really surprised me because I was expecting it to be like the 3 packs where there would just be a ton of airspace.
Yeah. Well, plus it has that big central brick piece, which probably goes a long way to making you feel like you have more oomph. So I don't know if the big box is like a loss prevention thing where it's harder for a kid to just jam this thing down his pants or whatever.
But, yeah.
You know, because that's always the sad kind of sideways thing that may be going on there. But it just seemed like it was a huge honking box for no real good reason.
Have you seen the builds that a guy on your Extra Life team has been doing?
Yes, I have.
People like him are the ones I'm waiting for the next breakthrough from people like him.
Mm-hmm.
Where they figure out how to use the joints in the bricks to create things that are really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Take the hoss and do...
Make it a foot or something.
Something interesting. Yeah. And that's where the guys that have the great creativity in this stuff, I think, could go a long way using this to spin this out into something else. Where, you know, okay, well, all right, well, I'll use those pieces to, yeah, be part of a foot. Or this is what gives you the swivel that in a really big build could become some weird shoulder joint or bicep or something completely out of left field that you couldn't do otherwise.
And there are real interesting bits in here too. Like I my limited experience with Lego, I was surprised how many of these guys come with that really thin 1x2, but it's studded on both sides. Like yeah, the cape connector.
That is totally not a Lego piece. That is, Creo has one of those, and now these have one. Lego doesn't do that because then it gets you out of the regular size of brick.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's always going to be some multiple of thickness of a tile. And when you have one of those upside down things, you lose that. Yeah. So there are other ways to make things go upside down that are a lot bulkier, but it keeps you in that so that you can do that. You can do those techniques a couple different ways and everything will still always line up because it's always in that multiple of. But when you have one of those half, you know, just that studs on both sides, you end up blowing that out and then you lose that.
Yeah. Sorry, I was also just checking something just to better illustrate my example. So your Bravenwolf comes with smooth red bits that can go on his limbs, right?
Yeah.
There's so
the 1x2 flats,
yeah,
and
yeah.
1x1 flats, yeah.
So the other 3-pack that I got, those aren't red, those are white.
Okay.
For instance. And there's some differences. If you check their product page, it gives all the parts counts. There's also the product instructions for the 3-packs show you all the 3-packs, and you can see all the parts counts to see what's different between them.
Okay.
It's interesting. This line just launched in Canada, too. I haven't found any, but apparently it's starting to ship.
Yeah, it's what, in like 2 days that Toys R Us loses its exclusivity?
And they already had a price drop, thank goodness.
Yeah. I think that it came to their attention that Toys R Us was doing what Toys R Us does.
Yeah, well, I love how it possibly came to their attention through TFW.
Yeah.
Which would be hilarious.
We do things.
Yeah. Hey, we're a Transformers site, but yo, your toys are cool. Heads up. Yeah, I am intensely excited to see where this line goes. The potential is huge. Just need a better TV show. Yeah, that's pretty much does it for my off-topic. I'm going to talk more about the Blast Tank Warhorse once I've built it, but I'll save that for later.
No, you need to tell us about it now.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, I did mess with the action bricks. So there's these big, it's like these big like 2x8s or 2x10s or something.
Okay.
And they have a spring-loaded missile launcher in them, and the way they can transform is they can be a brick, or you can unfold them to be, like, one stud long, or one stud wide and just really long.
Mm-hmm.
The best part about them is the button is camouflaged as a stud.
Oh, okay.
And it's really well camouflaged, and it's really solid, and the spring-load missile fire is really, really good. And I really like how they did it. Like, it's not obvious where the button is at first. That's kind of cool. That's all my off-topic, though. Aaron, you talked about one off-topic. Did you do anything else?
That is about it. I bought The Last of Us for the Game-a-thon.
Yeah, from your friendly local GameStop.
Yeah, ugh. Yeah, if we want to tell that story, we can. GameStop being GameStop, so I've been going around looking for a TurboGrafx-16 and for Virtual Boy games.
At GameStop?
Well, not at GameStop. Okay. At the local gaming store. places.
You should go to GameStop and ask them for a TurboGrafx 16.
What do you mean you don't have any? I thought this was the game. Stop.
So, but at one of them, the one that I thought would have fairly low odds, and turns out they had none, because apparently that's a very quick turnaround thing between the TurboGrafx 16 or the Virtual Boy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Two businesses down in the strip mall, there's a GameStop. And I went, well, I've been looking at all of the secondary use places to try and pick this up because I had somebody donate quite a bit of money for me to play the game. And I was going to buy it. I didn't necessarily want to rent it because the Redbox doesn't have it. And from there, it goes to going to a GameStop to buy it used. And I thought, well, if I'm going to pay... Because still, it's like $55 to buy it used. I'm like, well, if it's $55 for used to $60 for new, I'll pay the extra $5 to make sure I'm not getting somebody's scratched up mess. Sure, it runs. Okay. But I'll get whatever pack-in code is in there and all that other stuff that comes in with a new game. So I go in and say, hey, I'd like to buy... The Last of Us. I'm doing a gaming marathon. Somebody donated quite a bit of money for me to play this game, and I've been looking for it used, and for the price differential, I'd rather get it new. Guy goes, okay. So he turns around, opens up a drawer, pulls out a yellow paper envelope with clear window, sees that it's The Last of Us, turns, opens another cabinet, pulls out a Last of Us case, and starts to put it together. I said, no, new. Thinking that he just heard Last of Us and thought, I'm going to buy it used. He turns and looks at me and goes, yeah, yellow means new. I was like, what? No, I want one that's not been opened. He's like, nobody's used this. I'm like, you don't know. I'm not, if that's the way I got to buy it new, I'll go next door to the Walmart and buy one. So and he just looked at me like I was silly and I just walked out. It was like, I don't know what all is supposed to be in the package. And then, so I go to Walmart, buy it, and I get it home. And sure enough, there is the online play download thing. That's like whatever their online thing is to try and prevent used game sales. And it's like, okay, well, would that have come in the GameStop one? I don't know. Cause they're not getting my money because the guy looked at me and gave me the confused look when I was like, no, I'd like one that's not been touched by other people. Just the poor kids in Mexico now or wherever they're making the game discs.
For context, when this came up on Twitter, someone with experience informed what the reason is for GameStop's really horrible situation of how they sell new games. Is it so they can have more cases on the storefront shelves to look like they have games?
Yeah.
Also more cases that can't be walked off with.
Right.
That have the games
right.
on them.
Right. I know that none of the games out there... Except for maybe like the PS2 games or the stuff that's, you know, there's no real money left in it. Don't have games in it. And I understand that. And so that they do separate it, but you'd think on what is a AAA title that might've been one of the ones that was out in the case. But when I made an issue of it, maybe you should see if you still have one sealed instead of giving me a company line and, you know, had he got the paperwork part to put in there, I still probably wouldn't have bought it, but I wouldn't have had the same level of what? Then, yeah, yellow means new. No, paper sleeve means somebody's opened that and manhandled it and messed with it. And if you have a box already ready with the Last of Us insert on it, why is that just not already in there?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I'll go to the Evil Corporation Walmart and buy one there. And look, it's still in its plastic wrap. It still has the strip thing that has the game name on it to verify that it's a legitimate copy. I'm not going to... be messing with somebody else's stuff. And if it's screwed up, I can guarantee I know where the screw up came from.
But. Also, F GameStop.
Yeah. That's a good point too.
This is just gonna throw out the diplomacy there for a second.
Yeah, I thought I'd be cool and like, look, I'll just deal with this, and then went nah.
It was so weird because the day that came up, a friend of mine also told a story about just okay, the guy at GameStop was really, really cool. I'm like,
oh, I've had really cool GameStop dudes before.
Me too.
I know. I've had some good ones, but it's just so it's the most polarizing store I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Where you either get the or you either have an experience that's like absolutely great, or just I am never shopping there again. Yeah.
It's very much
a service business driven thing. Yeah. And when it's a service business driven thing, your service is what guarantees it.
My F is also aimed at the organization, not the employees, because they are subject to terrible stuff.
Yeah.
Not to say there are not good or bad employees. There are some great people. There are some terrible people working at GameStop. But that organization is kind of junky.
Yeah. Yeah, because when I went in, when I decided I wanted to do the Rock Band thing, I went into one and said, what's the cheapest way I can get the bass instruments and a game? And the guy went and found an old copy of Beatles Rock Band and said, okay, well, with this and this and this and this and this, it was like $50-$60 less than if I went and bought the new one. And away I went. But yeah, it's got that game, and a decent amount of stress, but
excellent.
That'll be over soon.
Well, you had it coming, do-gooder.
Yeah.
Magus Prime, what did you do that was off topic?
Well, let's see. A little visual for context. I gave into my Monster Hunter temptation again.
I had someone make a huge case at me about why I should play Monster Hunters when I was at New York Comic Con. Made a huge case. They really wanted me to play Monster Hunters. And so eventually I just said, I'll think about it. Thinking to myself, like, I am absolutely not touching the game because I don't have the time. but someone made a huge case for it, and I was very impressed.
It's a really cool game, but, you know, if you're into it, you will sink way more hours into it than you will realize.
Yeah.
But it's still the one line that will actually pull me back into Reveltech these days. So I picked up the Zenogre, which, for those who have never played the game, is like this giant, I assume, kind of wolf, dragon, bone-covered thing that emits lightning.
This is a Reveltech? The screenshot here?
Yeah.
This is the most interesting stuff I've seen out of, like, the ones you showed before, too. It feels like this is where some Revel, like, this and some of the god stuff they're doing is where Reveltech still feels relevant to me. Me and Seth kind of talk a little bit about how, because Seth hit the thing I hit where he had his moment of, like, I think I'm done with Reveltech. You know, between, like, their Batman offerings, he got the...
Yeah.
In this case, it was their Iron Man, and he got the Figure Arts Iron Man. And that was the eye opener. But stuff like this feels like this is where they're still able to find a way to work.
I'd love it if
they focus more on this kind of thing.
Yeah, the joints are still a little bit frustrating because they do show their age. But the sculpting and the paintwork is absolutely gorgeous on this guy.
Yeah, that looks great.
It's really just very detailed, very spot on to the game. And I really like how much that comes with. You get this little cage of lightning to put on top of his fur.
Mm-hmm.
The way to, which is, if you see that in the game, he's pissed off, start running very quick.
Yeah.
And to further replicate the game, you get things like, you get this little tiny, I said it this before when I got the dragon before. It comes with what looks like those old D&D miniatures. Like of your little character,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's sculpted and designed like the hunter that would wear the Zenogre's armor. So it's kind of like this little in-scale thing for poses and scenes you want to replicate. And to further that, you actually get horns that look like they've been broken off from battle.
That's cool.
Which, yeah, which if you haven't played, that's one of the key elements. You break off bits, you take them home, and you wear them. Essentially. So it's really nice to actually have that as an option. Yeah, and you know what? He's actually got some surprisingly good joints.
It looks like they could fit, like from the picture you shared, they could potentially fit some really good range inside the divots of the tail bits and whatnot.
Yeah. There is enough room in the design to where the joints don't really get in the way or intrude upon anything. You can still get some weird poses where some body parts look like they're floating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got this really nice one where it's not on a revolver joint, but it's like his entire, like in that photo, you can see where the brown fur along the bottom of his neck kind of goes into this chest with the white fur and the bones around.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Okay, that entire thing rotates down.
That's nice. So, and it goes into the chest cavity, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it goes into the chest. It reveals more painted and sculpted details, so it doesn't break any design or illusion.
Cool.
Yeah, and you get some really expressive poses with it. So the action figures on the Reveltechs do start to get on my nerves, but when they go like this, when they actually design some of these monsters for Monster Hunter, they really start to come to life again.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like there's a way for them to remain relevant, but I also think a lot of that involves creating a new Reveltech joint.
Yeah.
Or nixing it. And just like going with the great sculpting and design they do, because even on this guy, like I can see the Reveltech joints in his ankles, on one ankle and one elbow, and I almost wish that they were just a devoted like a similar joint but sculpted for this toy with the same texture of its body like on the surface.
Yeah.
It's really great though that they're like, it sounds like they're providing quality like fun stuff for Monster Hunter fans, and that's, as when you're into a video game and toys, it's often a real battle at times to find toys that match up to your expectations for your game that you're looking for. I mean, and Monster Hunter has these great toys. Dark Souls has no toys. So that's cool.
Let's see, what else is around here? Because I've been in such a frantic getting ready for this convention, I have absolutely no frame of reference. I didn't even get the chance to write down my stuff.
You want to just, I don't know. I was also going to say, like,
I'm looking around now.
Grab one arm to your left and one arm to your right, and then just take those two, whatever two things you grab.
I got a smash tape measure together. And a soda.
All right, no. What kind of soda?
No, I got a, I was trying out Robot Damashii for the first time with the Wing Zero.
It's a good line. I don't buy any of it, but it's a good line.
You don't buy it, but it's good.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, but I have an opinion on it.
Well, I've handled it, I've got a couple of them, I have a few, and there's a line I was able to let go of, but it's got a real nice build quality, and I think it's a real underrated line still.
Yeah, that's what, because I didn't really hear much about this, so I kind of took a chance on this one, because I'm in this little Toonami mood, so a little bit of Wing Zero for me.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice figure. Like, all the articulation I want, you know, it's, you know, because it's, you know, it's a Bandai action figure line, so, you know, it's, you know, it's got good posability to it.
It's Tamashii.
Details, yeah. Yeah, really good design quality, really good engineering and posability. They really kind of go hardcore to make sure that his little transformation element for his little flight mode thing is as dead accurate as possible. Cause you've got to replace the whole midsection to get the angle on it and the look of it right. And rather than transforming the legs, which looks like it should have been easy, you have to pry them off and pop on the actual jet legs.
Like, is it, that sounds like the kind of part swapping that would make me go, like, why didn't you just give me a jet to go with the toy?
Well, it's not... Well, it is kind of weird. It just feels like, really? You couldn't just, like, engineer a transformation into this? Like, like literally for the jet mode, the only thing that looks like happens is the feet kind of turn around and then tuck inside the leg.
Yeah.
And that's really it. So like, okay, if you want dead accurate, fine. A little bit more overthought than necessary, maybe.
It's so weird because one of the robot Damashis I got years ago was the Arios, the orange creamsicle Gundam. And he turns into a jet, and they worked in a more or less perfect transformation on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. The Wing Zero's not even that complex, so it kind of baffled me that they wanted part swapping to get it done.
Yeah.
But you know what? It still works. Like, there's no real complaining about it. It looks good in the jet mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets a shield. He gets what I thought was really cool of them. You get a spare beam saber blade.
Like, just in case you lose one.
Just in case, well, because it's on a very thin peg and it's very long and thin naturally, so yeah, just in case.
It's a real gunpla thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cool touch. It's a good thought. I actually quite like that. So, he's got a lot going for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excellent figure. I mean, if you're not a good model builder, but you still want a Wing Zero, it's a really nice option.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's Bandai Tamashii. They generally make cool stuff for lines that survive as many years as Figuarts and Robot Damashii do.
Oh yeah. As soon as you get through the feeling out years.
Yeah, well, even back then, like when they were doing Code Geass stuff, that's the Robot Damashii stuff that I really got into. And it's some dead solid toys.
Oh yeah.
Really well done.
Keeping in with the same company or Bandai, I guess. I added to my battery dinosaur collection with I'm gonna call him Teridino.
Oh, he's the one with the silly portmanteau. Yeah.
Portmanteau.
Oh, like, yeah. Teridino, like the... I don't know.
I prefer that to his dino mode name.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just Terra Gordon.
Yeah, Terra Gordon. Terra Gordon Freeman. Works at the Institute.
But no, I mean, bigger than I expected for starters. Of course, I guess it has to be, because it does the whole arm combination thing.
Mm-hmm.
But really neat toy. I mean, good, you know, like good solid build, good transformation. The black and gold look beautiful, because there's just like everything is covered in metallic gold paint. And it does this. It's actually a really clever way of just cheating how the battery gimmick works, because it can't tell what batteries are in there, of course.
Yeah,
like, it's just simple. It's one button. But if you're in beast mode, you either press the button or hold the button, and you get the two sounds for the dino mode that makes sense. And then when it detects a battery in there, you know, when the switch inside is pushed, that button changes to his normal robot and then his combination mode. Which I thought was actually a clever way of getting around the whole part where, well, we really can't program in any more noises to the main robot.
Yeah, it sounds like Brad Gigas has some similar stuff in his programming.
Yeah, Plessio does the same thing, too.
Yeah. I almost wanted to get a Brad Gigas. I don't have any of those toys. I like his name, and I like his little theme tune. But
everyone likes the song.
Apparently he's enormous, so I don't...
yeah, I saw the price tag on him, and I was like, maybe not.
And also, I don't have, like, 15 or 20 batteries to stick in his back like some other people do.
That's the other part.
So I'd be losing out on the visual cue.
God. Got almost no batteries. It's kind of disappointing. I just never got around to it.
I held my arms in the air and skipped the line.
No, he's a neat toy. Yeah, it's nice to have something for the other arms I've got scattered around to do.
Mm-hmm. Click, click.
Click, click. Yeah. I'm fearful. I like the line a little bit more than I think I should.
You should get breaking ass.
Just don't tempt me. You're talking to someone whose favorite Zord in the original Power Rangers was Titanus.
That's why you should get breaking ass.
That's all I'm thinking. God, they made another silver Brachiosaur.
He's a bigger, more modern Titanus, and you can stick every battery in him. And he plays rock music.
I can't afford anything right now. I'm trying not to think about it.
It's all right. There are probably going to be many Brigagasses on Mount Arake once Kyurija ends.
I have no doubt. I believe... Yeah, because everything else is unopened for my convention this weekend, so it's in that gray area of... I might never be able to discuss it, but I have it.
It's all just waiting.
Yeah. Once it's autographed, I'll consider it done, and then I will talk about it.
This toy looks great in this package. It's got ink on it.
Well, when it has ink on it, it'll have a story with it. Right now, it's just something I got off some jackass on eBay. Package? Well, hopefully. It's going to be a real long autograph line.
All right, you. I want 5,000 words, at least 2 stages of the hero's journey in this story. Go.
Yeah, there's just, like, the 30 guys behind me. We need your manifesto.
Yeah.
It's chapter 1 on this toy. Chapter 2 on his.
Man, I want to break Gigas now. It's like saying his name. Break Gigas. Alright. Well, that brings to a close our what we got this week's section. That brings to a close our podcast recording this week. I can happily say that we have pushed the right nodule in Team Andy Roo over its $200 goal. We got to push it farther. That's the one that has to win. So, ideally, if I live up to my word and I'm not a complete monster, you're going to be listening to this before you tune in to watch the stream. On Saturday.
Maybe you can listen while you watch.
Maybe you guys can just turn this on while you're setting everything up. Just turn on the live stream, turn on this podcast, and listen to this while you're all... We can watch you setting up all your TVs and things.
Hopefully everything will be set up.
Nope.
Friday night.
Nope.
So it's kind of confusing right now. If you look at the Andy Roo's Gaming Gang page, it says we have 5,000 in total donations. But when you add it all up, it's at 3,000 some. For some reason, it's counting Dan's twice.
Of course. So that's how...
Really, we have 3,400, not 5,000. It would be awesome if we got 5,000 before it was over. We're currently the 57th ranked team out of 3,369.
Look at you fancy pantses over here.
I think we can do better if only we can get people around the world to quit donating to everybody else.
I'll try my best.
Okay. Yes, that puts us almost in the top half of the 2% bracket, but I feel really proud of all of my team. Especially if you look at like some of the top rated teams are Reddit has a team that is the number one team. However, they have, if the page would load really rapidly.
That's not very rapidly.
No, they've almost raised 48,000, but they have 756 participants. So you break the math down and my guys are kicking Reddit's butt pound for pound. And I bet there's some pretty big guys on the Reddit team.
Whoa.
Not saying, but...
Whoa.
No.
Well, I hope everything goes well this weekend.
Thank you.
I hope there aren't too many fires.
Hopefully not.
If there are fires, just make sure you catch them in recording.
Of course.
You can monetize that.
Surely I can, except for one point we'll have something that's close to music that everybody will freak out about.
Not if you make enough sock accounts.
Okay.
There you go. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week, post Extra Life, and see how it all went. Until then, this has been Vangelis, that's been Aaron and Omegas Prime, and we are WTF at TFW, and I am really tired. Boom!
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.